about.
So it's lovely to see you both again. I just wish it were under better circumstances.
You don't have to talk.
All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIG!
Take a finger in your stinker so those cancer cells won't linger. Make your O-ring open up like the mouth of an opera singer. So bend over, say hello, spread those cheeks that are down below. Let the doctor in your sphincter take a finger in your butt.
Don't you see? Daylight savings is just an imaginary construct.
It's daylight saving. It's not plural.
This is tearing us all apart.
And now.
She's irrational.
You should...
You see what I'm talking about? Is it me? Am I wrong? Just let me talk. May I talk, please? I have something to say. May I say it?
Yes, Mark.
Okay, would you just let me finish?
Perhaps.
Am I wrong?
Our feature presentation.
I like that guy. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It is the 10th of March.
Well, it's crackling, you guys.
You know, how's everybody?
Doing great.
Hanging and banging. You?
I love that that Allie is still so new that she sweats it when Kevin's not in the studio with 55 seconds left before the show starts.
Kevin coming, you guys?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, here's the thing you don't know yet, Allie, is that Kevin is so good, he doesn't need the prep time.
Wow.
He doesn't need batting practice, man. He just walks up and hits a home run every time at the plate.
He speaks truth.
See? Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Same guy that you're familiar with.
Yeah,
that's the one I'm talking
that's
about.
That's why I'm confused.
You would think a guy like me would come in early and start going through the stuff that I'm supposed to say.
No.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Amateurs.
Amateurs.
That's right. What the rest of us are.
That's right.
Hall of Fame.
Hey, Hall of Fame indeed. Hey, great show today. But first, let's get started with this man who's been in the news quite a bit lately. Have you guys heard about Kevin McGill, the Georgia garbage man?
No, don't think so, no.
He works for a private waste collection company in a wealthy Atlanta suburb. This is one of the Tony areas of Atlanta. Atlanta's got a lot of very wealthy people there, including, you know, lots of professional athletes and people like that. It's called Sandy Springs, and they have a rule there that you can't pick up trash before 7 a.m. Actually, I think their rule is more all-encompassing about other noise just in general before 7 a.m.
Right.
Well, Kevin McGill went to work early one day in February. He's a busy man. He's got a wife. He's got two young sons. He's got four dogs. And he got up one morning and decided to take his route early. So he started picking up trash in Sandy Springs a little after 5 a.m. The residents of Sandy Springs, not so jazzed to hear the trash truck outside, started doing what? Calling 911 at an alarming rate.
Really?
Yes. Oh, switchboard lit up like a Christmas tree, it says. Because, of course, that's clearly an emergency if there's a guy picking up trash. So he was cited. It doesn't say here how, if the police went out that day and cited him, or if he got word when he went back to work, you know, back to the headquarters of the trash company, but he did get cited and was ordered to appear in court. He did not take a lawyer to his court appearance because it was his first offense, and he was expecting a fine. A fine is not what Mr. McGill got.
Oh.
Anyone want to guesstimate?
How much time in jail?
No.
He was sentenced for picking up trash early one day?
Jail?
What?
30 days in prison.
No way.
My guess is 30 days in prison.
That's an excellent guess, Kevin.
Thank you.
Again, proving my point that Kevin doesn't need the prep time. 30 days in prison. The judge in the case does not believe that fine works, so he sentenced him to 30 days in prison. The bright side for Mr. McGill, though, is he was allowed to serve a sentence on the weekends so that he can still work collecting garbage 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and then he'll spend the next 13 weekends in jail. So his jail sentence began on February the 5th, and as word started to circulate in Georgia and beyond, maybe the trash company stepped in and maybe the judge stepped in and maybe they worked together to get the rest of his sentence commuted. But he had already spent 2 weekends in jail when the court came out with this statement. In retrospect, the actions of the court with regards to Mr. McGill's sentence for violating the city's noise law was disproportionate for a first-time offense.
Wow.
You think?
First-time offense of noise.
Exactly, yes. As such, the court has amended its sentence to time served and further probation suspended. City ordinances are implemented for the protection of the quality of life within a community. The adherence to these laws is important, and the city is obliged to enforce these laws, which includes imposing sanctions against those individuals who break the law.
You imagine he's in jail, and everybody's like, what are you in for? What are you in for? I was picking up some trash a little early.
You got to change your story, right?
Yes,
you do. Just to look hard.
It's got to be an assault or something. You have to make something up fictional.
I mean,
it sucks.
It's just I mean, look, I get that there are a lot of rich areas in a lot of cities in this country, and I get that you want things to be just so. But let the man do his job, right? He's there picking up your trash. How critical can you be of what – I mean, and how long does it take for the trash man to go by your house? 15 seconds?
Well, I don't know, but it also sounds like an overreaction, even if you're going to force them to stick by the rules.
Yes, it does.
Them know, hey, this isn't okay. Start at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't know that the guy needs to go to jail.
I'd like to hear those 911 calls.
I would, too.
I mean, come on.
So the early bird gets the jail time. That's what we've learned here on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about the show, shall we?
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. And so it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah,
indeed.
It's a good point.
This morning we are going to give you an update on Beer Mugs and his gambling. I don't know if you were in the room, Bean, but Beer Mug for a while was saying that he had a way of having a 97% advantage in betting. 97%.
I did hear that, okay. And I was surprised he was still getting up in the middle of the goddamn night to come answer phones on the Kevin and Bean Show if that was the case.
Yeah, it made no sense, but he held to it, and he insisted that was the case. He had a foolproof method.
Yep.
And we're going to give you an update in about a half hour.
And there are a lot of those foolproof methods out there in gambling where you can't lose.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot. And then people end up where Beer Mug is right now, which is that this may be his last day on Earth.
Certainly his last day walking.
And I think that's okay with me. So that's coming up in about a half hour. We have a brand new edition of What's Up with Florida. We have Ashley Escada from CNET.
Love Ashley.
Talking about the Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch, the whole Apple presentation yesterday, and the new line of MacBooks, too, that are completely redesigned.
Thank
a lot
God.
Of changes in the world of Apple. But this watch, you're right, Kevin, this is the first new, if I understand correctly, this is the first new product introduced since Steve Jobs died. So they got a lot riding on it.
Wow, we have a brand new Internet Roundup today, and there was a three-hour finale of The Bachelor last night. So Petros Papadakis will be in studio, Ralph will be in studio, and we will get the full recap coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:39. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51.
It's Ralph Garman time, Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Sad news. Co-creator of The Simpsons, Sam Simon, has passed away. Guy won 7 Emmy Awards for his work on the show. He passed away Sunday at his home in Los Angeles after a long, difficult battle with colon cancer. He was just 59 years old today.
Ouch.
Not today, but he was just 59 years old. He started out writing for Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids in 1979. The animated series created by Bill Cosby to teach kids about reading and roofies. And then then he sent a script to Taxi, which led to another job there. He was just 23 years old when he was writing for that hit sitcom. He wrote for Cheers, The Drew Carey Show. I mean, just one of the great comedy writers in the industry. And he is worth, allegedly, $100 million. He will give that fortune away all to various charities, including many, many animal charities, because he was a longtime animal activist and vegan. So there you go.
How about that?
And by the way, he didn't just wait until he died, leaving in his will. I mean, that's what he has spent his healthy time that he's had the last 3 years is traveling around the world and giving millions of money, millions of dollars to various charities to help him out. I mean, it's really remarkable.
Yep. Speaking of Bill Cosby, he's fighting back.
Oh, good.
Finally standing up for himself. Because the rapists don't stand up for themselves enough, I think. He released a new video of him talking on the phone to no one, assuring his fans that he's still performing, despite the recent scandal, and that, I'll be hilarious, he says to no one in particular on the phone on the other end. It's him sitting in an easy chair pretending to talk to someone on the phone. It's just very
it's weird.
Very weird. Pajamas.
Yeah,
I mean, it's come
just,
on, Bill.
What's happening?
Ugh.
It's awful on every level.
It is.
He's just disgusting. Never has anyone flipped the public perception on themselves as hard and as fast as Bill Cosby.
Well, maybe OJ.
I don't know. OJ was like, he was always known as sort of like a womanizer and, you know, a football player.
Yeah.
At best, you know, just a respected athlete, but not someone you necessarily looked up to on a personal level. Bill Cosby was America's dad.
Yeah, he was. That's true.
And now he's America's rapist. That's bad, right?
Well, it's not.
When dad becomes a rapist?
It's not what he wants, I'm sure.
On the next Maury?
Look, I know we shouldn't be surprised by how low Bill Cosby's willing to go, but I wouldn't want to perform. I wouldn't want to still be out on the road and have those protests and everything else that follow me around everywhere I go. I would just quietly retire and sit on my $100 million if I were Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I think that speaks to his arrogance and to his sort of self-deception even about what he's done.
Yeah.
I think he's so deep in denial that he actually believes that in some way he didn't do anything that was that bad to these women, which is incomprehensible.
I wonder if part of that comes from he believes they wanted to sleep with him because he's Bill Cosby. What if that's part of it?
Maybe. I don't know. We, of course, will talk more about this during the Bachelor Report, but congratulations to Chris Soules, a.k.a. Prince Farming, and his new fiancée, Whitney Bischoff.
Ah, oh, Whitney.
Whitney. I thought it was going to be Megan.
29-year-old fertility nurse from Chicago, Illinois. There was no Megan or Debbie involved.
Oh, I didn't
Becca.
Know.
Becca was his other choice. But Becca just wasn't that into him. When it came down to him making a choice, he really didn't have much of a choice to make because only one of the girls was really in love with him.
And by in love with him, you mean still acting like she was in love with
How
him.
How dare you?
So, Ralph, will it last?
I think these two will be very happy together.
Will they marry?
No, absolutely.
Kevin, would you like to put a wager down with Ralph Grubb on whether they will marry or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
$1,000?
No, I don't want to bet $1,000 on the freaking Bachelor.
Come on. You're so sure about yourself. You're so confident. How about $1,000?
No, I don't gamble that much ever.
Do 20 it.
$20, please.
I don't.
All right, sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Listen to Allie. Do it, Kevin. Do it, Kevin.
No, it's not $100,000. That was creepy.
She's the instigator.
$100.
$100.
$100. All right.
All right. Someone make a note of this.
All right, hold on. Before we continue,
what does marriage mean?
No, I'm saying this isn't like part of the show where they're gonna follow it, and there's a follow up episode where they get married. Like it's not already been decided, right? That they're gonna get married.
No, they announced their engagement.
Right.
They are engaged.
And then that's it for the show.
That's it for the show. Look, okay. If they do, and I believe they will, get married, ABC may come back and do a special. They've done that before with couples who have gotten married on The Bachelor.
All right.
Done a TV
but they have
show.
Not announced
But it's
that.
Not. It's okay. not a
I just want to make sure
conclusion.
It wasn't a foregone conclusion.
No,
yes.
no. There's no. Right. I'm not trying to. The fix isn't in here. I'm not trying to steal your money.
I don't trust you. $100.
It's just that he's a simpleton who wants to get married on the farm, and she is a girl who's desperate to get married and have children. Mm. I think if anybody had been sitting there next to her last night, The marriage would have been absolute. She was eyeing up Chris, asking if he was single. There was guys in the audience she was asking if anybody wanted to get married.
She asked about Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby was on her list, her short list. So that's the only reason I think for sure that they will definitely tie the knot.
All right, we'll save this tape for if and when that happens. Now,
all right.
Do we have to put some sort of an end date on it? Because at some point, if years go by, the bet is not resolved.
In other words, is there an end date? 20-year engagement?
Is there an end date at which point Ralph just has to pay Kevin if they don't get married, is what I'm saying.
Oh, good question.
No, if they announce that... Yeah, 24 hours. No, when they announce they're split up, and if they split up, they will announce it. It'll be in the press.
All right.
Either they break up or they get married.
Beautiful. I'm in.
All right. Good deal. $1,000, right?
$100.
I heard $1,000.
$100.
Allie, what'd you hear? I heard $1,000.
I heard $1,000.
$100,000. And Steven Weber's going to be back on TV. Kevin, of course, you know him from
that airplane thing.
Stop it, Allie.
Really, you don't help.
Wings. You don't help the monkey.
Wings.
The first rule.
Sorry. I love wings so much.
You let Kevin come up with it or not.
Right.
Sorry.
How that works.
It's going to be back on TV. CBS just cast him in an upcoming pilot called Joe Time.
I'm sorry?
It's called Joe Time. Maybe that title's in flux. But Weber will play a dad and husband who's pushed aside his own desires for his family so they can follow their dreams. But he's disappointed that everyone else is getting their wishes while he's not. So you know what it is? It's Joe Time.
No.
Nope.
I love it already.
Fantastic.
I'm in.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, a bunch of people were born on March the 10th. Olivia Wilde, the actress, for example, is 31 years old. Country singer Carrie Underwood is 32. Chuck Norris is 75. Playmate and... are they married?
Who?
Gene Simmons and Shannon Tweed? Did they
ever
finally get
I think they finally did, yeah.
They did, yeah.
She's 58 years old today. Actress Sharon Stone is 57. Pearl Jam guitarist Jeff Ament is 52. John Hamm is 44 years old. Oh, John Hamm. I can't wait. I can't wait for Mad Men to come back.
I can't either.
I thought it was...
I can't wait. I want to make love to it.
I thought it was over, no?
Seven more episodes, Kevin.
Oh, last season. Okay.
Debuting April 5th. Every time I see one of those promos, I just... I get...
What do you get? Oh.
I think that was an inarticulate way to say the same thing Ralph was saying, which is you see those and you're so excited for those shows.
Yeah. Do you
just can't wait for it to come back.
I get a little bit of that. Do you get, which of your many noises do you get, B?
I gotta learn some English words.
It would help.
Maybe the lower one is for men.
Maybe. So yeah, use the higher one.
That's right. Timbaland is 43 years old today. Robin Thicke turns 38. Danny Pudi from Community, of course, is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
At 5 o'clock this afternoon and every weekday between now and the Coachella Music Valley and Arts Festival, we're giving away tickets to that festival and access to the K-Rock Coachella House. Kevin, we go to the Coachella House every year.
Very fun.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's a great time. And a lot of the artists come over there. They perform live. They do interviews. It's really fun.
K-Rock is broadcasting live from there all weekend long. And you get the tickets to the show. You get to go to the K-Rock Coachella House. And you're also qualified to win a new car. Talking about a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. It's a phenomenal new vehicle, and I just can't believe we're doing all of this for you. Grand prize is going to be drawn at the K-Rock Coachella House on Friday, April the 10th at 5 o'clock every weekday. You get a chance to win your tickets and qualify for the new car. Details at K-Rock.com.
All right, let's talk about gambling. Beer Mug is here and pointing to his mic because it's not on yet. That's how he rolls. He has a white nose right now.
Yeah.
What is that medicine?
Yeah, it's I slathered cortisone on it.
Okay.
All over it.
All right.
He had a terrible sunburn on his nose from K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain over the weekend.
Yeah. It was Sunday, and
he was Rudolph.
He didn't put any sunscreen on because he had chapstick. He rubbed chapstick all over his face, and his nose was literally had flames coming off of it yesterday,
and goo.
Yeah.
Haven't
we told you we don't need to hear any of those details?
Sorry,
we don't need your pus update. But I will say, if you've ever met Beer Mug, you know how much closer his nose is to the sun than the rest of us.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That is true. So we've talked a lot to Beer Mug in the past about gambling and his gambling because he has a 97% success rate with his system. And he's very excited about that. And I tried to tell him, and so did Ralph and everybody else, you know, the people that gamble well have a 3 or 4% advantage. That's about it. 97%. Can't lose. This was, I think, over the weekend?
This was Friday into Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what... Where were you in the money at that point?
I was up $100. Didn't owe anything. I was owed $100. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
And is this at a place you were gaming, or is this just with your bookie, or what?
This is my guy.
This is Vinny Knuckles?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you said 97%. We said, dude, there's no such thing. You stuck by it. We said, there's no such thing. You stuck by it. So,
I mean, even if you get super lucky, even if you go on a tremendous tear, you're never going to be 97% for reals.
Yeah, I might have fallen on the 3% loss rate this weekend.
No. You fell on the rate that's much, much higher than 3%.
Yeah.
You don't have a 97% success rate. That's not possible.
Well,
in sports betting, that's a fool.
I guess I'm a fool because... I was winning 97% of the time, and then...
Stop saying that! You sat down and figured it out with math! Like, you did math! Stop it!
Well...
So what happened this weekend?
Well, I decided to, hey, $100 is not enough. Let me try to get greedy and try to make more. Let me try to make the amounts that I've been known to make when getting out of the hole. Because I've been in the hole before.
Right.
Like $2,000, $3,000. And I've come out of it just with NBA action, as I like to call it. And that turned out not so good.
But hold on. Yeah. You had a 97% success rate. It was can't lose, I think you said at one point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And bet on one game, bet on the Bulls. The first half didn't cover. Try to chase it with the second half. They lost that.
Uh-huh.
And there was about three more games that on Friday night where I just dug myself into a tremendous hole.
So where are you now, Muggs?
I'm sorry, but 97%?
Like I said, I hit the other 3%.
Yeah.
Again. All right.
Again.
Drum roll, please, Bean, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
We need a drum roll for this. So right now, as of this morning,
I am a minus -2558. That's $2,558.
Yay! Beer mug.
And you have that. I mean, you had it because you don't gamble any money you don't have. So you have it.
Probably I'll have it with like the next three paychecks, maybe next four.
Muggs, why don't you just gamble your way out of that hole?
Yeah, that's what I told him yesterday. I was like, double or nothing, man.
Here's the thing about that.
How it works.
I've done that before, but I'm now to a point where I just can't. I can't keep getting out of the hole like that. It's pointless. Like, what's the point of me getting in the hole a tremendous amount of money and then just winning all that back, not to collect it, but just to pay off my debt? I'd rather just take it on the chin, learn my lesson, pay the money out of my pocket.
So full of it.
You guys will never imagine I made $700 last night.
How many times have you quit gambling in the past, though, Muggs?
All.
Okay, here's a revelation.
Several, right?
I've quit many, many times, but I did a first this past weekend.
Which was?
I had my guy shut down my line that tremendous loss.
So you said, no more, I'm not going to bet with you.
And I had him, so I can't go on and make bets anymore for the time being.
That was smart, until you opened up a new account under a different name.
I'm sorry, for the time being.
Right, I mean.
Which means what?
Which means I can't go on right now until I say, hey, I've paid you, or until I've paid him off. That's
so you didn't cancel your line or close it or anything else?
Well, technically, I can't go in and make a bet
on
anything.
Well, they don't say you did. Okay, you can't bet until you're even again.
Right.
Well, let's see what Vinny's perspective is on this, because I don't know how much wiggle room you have to pay back $2,500. Hey, Vinny Knuckles, how are you, man?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We are good.
Yeah. Some of you are good. Others of you are not so good.
Yeah.
It's
when
rough patch.
When he closed down his line, by the way, that means he can't place our bet until he pays me his money.
Right. But then once he pays you his money,
then by all means, bring it back, because I need suckers like this guy, 97%.
Yeah. How long does a guy like Beer Mug get to pay back $2,500, Vinny?
Yeah, I'll give him a week.
A week? Oh. He needs three paychecks.
Well, I hope he gets paid every 2 days.
is there interest that is accrued on the money he owes you while you're waiting for it to
after
be paid back?
Week after week, the VIG gets to be 5%. That's what we'll go
for.
Oh,
all right.
Wow. Vinny, is there something I could do, like, just to, like, work off my debt for you?
Well, you mentioned taking it on the chin. I got something. Like hold on a second here.
Oh, no.
What's that?
I got a little business here. I got to take care of it.
What? Are you fighting?
That tissue, you owe me. Pay me what you owe me. You understand?
This is your future, Muggs.
You pay me what you owe me.
That's another Vic. That's another
Muggs
customer.
Wants to know if that's a punching bag.
No. My mom, she owed me $5.
A very happy story on the internet this week involving a person called Dancing Man. We'll tell you about that coming up in about 15 minutes. We got the Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros next hour and a brand new Kevin and Bean internet roundup as well. First, though, I got a question for you guys.
You going to say it or am I supposed to play it?
Well, you can say what or...
What, Bean?
Thank you. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always...
Allie McKay,
Bean Baxter.
How are you, my boo-boo kitty?
Wow.
Whoa, whoa.
We've been watching Empire.
I love it.
Are you up to speed on what's up with Florida? You know what the deal is here? Is that Florida is the Sunshine State, yes, but it's also the craziest place in America, with about 90% of the bizarre stories that come out of the United States come out of Florida, which is also America's Wang, and that's why we feature them in this What's Up with Florida bit. Here's a man named Stephen Johnson. He was 53 years old. He responded to an ad for escorts on Backpage.com, like you do, sure, and arranged for a liaison with two women at a beach hotel. Once he handed over $100, which seems like a pretty good deal for two women, by the way, it was revealed that the prostitutes were actually undercover police officers. They were detectives with the Broward Sheriff's Office, so they arrested him for soliciting a prostitute. Stephen Johnson is the police chief of the Miami Gardens Police Department.
Really?
Oh.
He hired his own people?
No. He was Miami Gardens City, and this was Broward Sheriff's Office. So he didn't realize that they were actually undercover police officers. He posted bond. He was released on Saturday. He blamed his arrest on the high pressures of his job, telling reporters, "The stress overwhelmed me, and I made a very bad decision." He was fired, by the way, from the police department for soliciting prostitutes.
He did not play that right.
No.
He should have just immediately been like, "You are doing your job. I'm doing my own sting."
Exactly.
Right?
I'm arrested. You're arrested.
All arrested.
So he should have pretended he was there to arrest the prostitutes once they took...
Yeah, checking up on other cities.
Very clever. Very clever, Alex.
That's what I did.
We go to Orlando now. Florida authorities say a smash-and-grab robber made off with more than $10,000 worth of scratch-off lottery tickets after he broke into a convenience store. The reason this story is fascinating to me is what he used to get into the store. How did he break the glass front door? What do you suppose he used to gain access to the convenience store?
Well, you wouldn't be asking that if it was like a hammer or something that people do use.
It was something I've never seen before. A car? A car is a good guess. Yeah. That's a good way to go through. Kevin, you got a guess?
His elbow.
You're close. He headbutted the door.
Whoa!
Wow.
He headbutted the door.
She was laughing at me for that stupid answer.
They have it on video. He was wearing a hoodie, but that's not much protection when he crouched down and barreled headfirst into the door of the Sunshine Food Mart in Orlando last Thursday. You could see the glass shattering around him on the floor. He grabbed $10,000 worth of scratch-off lottery tickets. He has not been found, by the way, but once the store notified lottery officials that those tickets had been stolen, they just immediately canceled them. So even if one of them turned out to be a winner, you wouldn't be able to redeem it for any cash. That's a good lesson to learn. I didn't know that about lottery tickets. I'm going to stop stealing lottery tickets. That doesn't seem like it makes very much sense anymore.
I didn't know that about heads.
Can you believe that?
It's like a Kevin-sized head.
When you headbutt somebody, it's more like your forehead. But if you're just running into glass, it's the top of your head. That's so stupid. The guy could have knocked himself out and maybe died.
It does seem like take a hammer. Take something that you're going to use to knock the door down. Yeah,
it's insanity.
Here's a guy arrested for fraud in Florida. He is Anthony James Davis, 37 years old, of Spring Hill. They found out that he had stolen the identity of people who lived in his apartment complex. They knew him. They were friends with him. He introduced himself as a pharmaceutical rep and said, "Hey, I'm, you know, pretty well off. I'd like to treat you guys to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game." And they did. But what the neighbors, Bill and Melissa Callahan, realized when their credit card statements came in is that they had paid for the tickets and the day at the football stadium. He had stolen their identity and then taken them to the football game. Doesn't that seem like he's begging to get caught?
Yeah.
Ballsy.
Why take them? Why take them over everyone else?
Yes. Huh. Why take them indeed, Kevin?
Huh.
Investigators say that the man charged $2,969.38 on the Callahan's credit card and used $100 worth of stolen gift cards as well. So he has been arrested. By the way, he has a long history of pretending to be a doctor and practicing medicine without a license,
good,
as well as other cases of identity theft and fraudulent use of a credit card. So the Callahans are thinking, wow, what a super nice guy taking us to an NFL game. That's an expensive night. Turns out they paid for it.
And there are no good NFL games in Florida, let's be honest.
I was going to say the true crime is a Buccaneers fan.
That's right. Well, maybe somebody they wanted to see was in town that week. Two more on this edition of What's Up with Florida. Here's a Naples man who got into an argument with his girlfriend. He is named Michael Williams, 43 years old. Unclear what they were arguing about. There may have been some cheating on one side or the other. But during the argument, the girlfriend told deputies that the man threw a can of French onion dip at her, as well as a bucket of urine.
What?
A bucket of urine. Now, I saw that and I went,
why would they have a bucket?
Well, apparently, listen to this. This is Florida in a nutshell. Apparently, the home where Mr. Williams lives has 10 other residents, but there's only one bathroom, so they use a bucket outside to urinate and empty it later.
Wow.
That is Florida living at its best. So that's how you have a bucket of urine just lying around waiting to be thrown at somebody. And finally, this might be the most Florida story I've seen in 2015. A birthday prank gone wrong has landed a Florida man in jail. He is Christopher Taft of Holly Hills, Florida. He was turning 21 years old, and his sister thought it would be funny to give him a birthday cake in the shape of a penis. So far, so good.
Oh, wait, his sister?
Yes, his sister gave him a phallic-shaped cake for his 21st birthday.
That's weird right there.
The sister thought it was funny. Mr. Taft, not so much. He shot his sister in the butt with a BB gun.
Oh, this family. This is a reality show waiting to happen.
The king and queen of Florida is what they are. So she gets shot in the butt. She calls police. When they arrive, she says, I don't want to press charges. And they say, too bad. We're arresting your brother on aggravated battery and assault charges. She had a BB lodged under the skin in her butt, by the way. She refused medical attention on the scene from the paramedics, said she would go to the hospital herself to have the pellet removed. This is the greatest 21st birthday party I think I've ever heard.
No kidding.
And it's so, so Florida. And that's why we asked the question, what is up with Florida?
Florida. What's up with Florida?
We announced yesterday morning on the show that you, if you're funny, can open Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. The show is already sold out. Coming up April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium with Tenacious D and Gabrielle Iglesias, Ralphie Mae, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and Brad Williams. Mike Realm's going to be doing the house music for us that night. It's going to be a great, great time, but we still have room on the bill, I think, for, what, about 5 minutes, probably, for somebody at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it depends on how funny they are. Maybe 2 minutes.
There might be a book.
Right. But we do have an opening act contest. You could be the opening act for April Foolishness. You just have to send in up to two minutes of a video of you being funny. And we're going to announce the top 10. We're going to take votes. We're going to pick somebody, and they're going to open up for that incredible list of comedians.
This is the seventh year we've done Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. This is the first time we've ever had an opening act contest. But we thought, you know what? Especially in this town, there are so many people out there who are working as comedians or want to be working as comedians or think they've got something funny to say. They got an interesting point of view. Why not give them an opportunity? And then you'll have on your resume that you opened for Tenacious D. So it's kind of a win for the audience there that night. It's a win for you as well. You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and get all the entries you've got this week and next to get your video uploaded to us and fill out a little entry form. And then we're going to put the top 10 online, and the Kevin and Bean audience can vote on who they want to see opening the show on April 4th. It's going to be fun.
All right, let's talk Dancing Man, shall we?
Let's talk Dancing Man. How often does the internet get together and do something nice?
It seems like more often than ever now, right? Doesn't it seem like it's sort of catching on where people are calling out shamers?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, you know what?
Now the Schilling story. And
now that you say that, I think you're right. I think we are getting to a point now where we're at the tipping point against bullies in particular.
I hope so.
And, yeah, I mean, Allie, you more than anyone know about bullies on the internet.
I do. And sadly, a lot of those bullies are women. And that is shocking to me. Yeah.
What is it? I mean, I know we've talked about this before, and maybe there's no answer except just that people feel, you know, they feel like there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no repercussions. They can be anonymous. You can go on and you can say anything on the internet to anybody. And I think a lot of people just accept that culture and think, well, it's not real life. But it is real life. And those words are read by real people who really get hurt when you bully them and bring them down. Kevin, tell us about Dancing Man.
Well, Dancing Man was a guy in England. Well, I have a news report, but he's a guy in England that apparently there was a video of him dancing, and there were two pictures taken. One was while he was dancing and very happy, mm-hmm. and then the guys behind the camera apparently were making fun of him because he was fat and he shouldn't be dancing. So picture one is happy, fat Dancing Man, and picture two is sad dancing man. And nobody wants a sad dancing man.
No.
And they call him a specimen, too, by the way, in the post that they put up. Spotted this specimen trying to dance the other week. He stopped when he saw us laughing. Does that, is that just heartbreaking?
The pictures are so sad because he's full of joy. He's dancing. He's having a great time. Then the next one is such dejection and sadness and shame.
And then a girl here in Southern California stepped up and changed the whole story.
Two photos said so much. A man dancing away until the bullies behind the camera mocked him, then posted the photos online, writing, "Spotted this specimen trying to dance the other week. He stopped when he saw us laughing." The before and after went viral.
Thought it was horrible. I mean, it's wrong.
So Cassandra Fairbanks and her LA women's group of nearly 2,000 tweeted out an invitation to a dance party. The hashtag #FindDancingMan going viral. And 12 hours later, Sean from London.
My first thought was, wow, we have to throw the best party ever.
Twitter cheered. Celebrities chimed in. Moby offered to DJ for free. Farrell writing, "Never be ashamed of yourself."
I love that, Farrell.
The online party fund topped $30,000 overnight. What does Dancing Man think about all this?
He said he hasn't stopped smiling in 24 hours.
On his new Twitter feed, he tweeted, "Completely overwhelmed and big thanks." He has over 50,000 followers ready to get their groove on.
So Dancing Man is going to have a dancing party with thousands. Moby.
With Moby DJing, yes.
And Pharrell and thousands of women.
Yes. By the way, ordinarily I would say no women's group of almost 2,000 is going to end up in good news for the rest of us. I'm very nervous about that.
You know you're in their sights, that's why.
Andrew WK apparently is going to be at the party. A bunch of people want to come. Here's the message that they sent to Dancing Man. This is the open letter that somebody in the group posted when they were trying to find Dancing Man. "Dancing Man, we don't know much about you, but a photo on the internet suggested that you wanted to dance and were made to feel like you shouldn't be. We want to see you dance freely, and if you would have us, we would love to dance with you. We are prepared to throw quite the dance party just for you if you'd have us. To be clear, it's 1,727 of us, and we're all women. If this isn't appealing, we're okay with taking no for an answer, but we'd like you to know the offer stands. May we have this dance sincerely. Signed, an occasionally overly enthusiastic group of young women in California, #FindDancingMan. So as you heard in that news report, they did find him, and they chipped in to raise the money to fly him to Los Angeles for the dancing party. And that is going to happen. I mean, what an unbelievable turn of events.
And the great thing is so many people getting on board. Like she said, Moby, Pharrell, all these people. The LA Coliseum tweeting, "We'd love to host it."
The Coliseum.
And they raised over 30 grand. And any money not spent, they're going to donate to anti-bullying campaigns, which, I mean, so much good came out of this. And it was a global effort, which I think is most impressive.
It is. What's weird is that the shaming that's been going on Twitter for a long time, everybody sits around and goes, "That's effed up." But nobody really did anything about it for a while. And now, like, this woman stepped up and this group stepped up, and all of a sudden it gains a lot of momentum because there are a lot of people out there that go, "That's effed up. I'd like to fight that."
No, it really is. It's a sweet story with a happy ending, and body shaming is awful, and people who hide behind social media are awful people. And I don't know, the only aspect of this story that I haven't heard is the people who originally took the photo and posted it. I don't know if they were ever revealed or if there were any consequences for them, but they certainly have to look at this and go, "Wow, I'm on the wrong side of history with the way I treated that man."
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Do we know when it's going to happen? We don't.
We don't. It's all in the works. And this woman who originally sent the tweet, Cassandra, she's like, "I've been missing work trying to keep up with all these interviews." So this woman is so overwhelmed by her goodness, which I can think of worse problems.
Sure.
But kudos to her for even just taking the initiative in this.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
You got to take this one. I am right mid-bite.
Excellent.
Sorry.
Excellent. Ralph is here.
Oh, there was some way Bean could have known he was going to be on radio this morning.
I had no warning. No one ever gave me any 30 seconds or anything like that.
What are you going to do in 30 seconds that's going to clear that mouth full of that stuff?
I can swallow.
I've heard that about you.
I literally was in the middle of a bite when the song ended. I apologize for that. It's very unprofessional, and I won't stand for it on this show.
You just did it.
Let's go to showbiz.
Sam Simon, who co-created The Simpsons, has passed away. Just 59 years old.
I didn't know this guy as well. You know what I mean? Like,
He was early years of The Simpsons.
Well, yeah, but he was quintessential in getting it on the air. And
he created Mr. Burns, I'll tell you that.
He also wrote, started out writing for Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, the Cosby animated series back in 79. Then Taxi, Cheers, The Drew Carey Show. I mean, just a great comedy writer, 59 years old, so young to pass away from colon cancer. He has donated nearly his $100 million fortune that he acquired from The Simpsons and various other projects to charities, many of them animal charities. I think it's safe to say all of them animal charities. He was a big animal activist and vegan. And to show you, eat vegan.
I'm not sure that's...
That'll keep you healthy.
That's not the takeaway at all.
No, that's not the takeaway at all.
But he also hired Conan O'Brien and all those writers who went on to great things in The Simpsons in the early years. I mean, he had a very sharp comedy mind.
He did indeed. Iggy Azalea strikes me as someone who is sorry that she got famous.
I don't blame her, by the way. I think people are so cruel to her for very little reason.
Well, here's the thing. When you build your career on a throne of lies, I think you make yourself susceptible to being...
People may not like that?
Having shots taken at you.
And you're talking about the way she sings versus the way she talks. Is that what you mean? You feel like it's all artifice?
She's a little white girl from Australia, and she comes out with, I'm in the murder business, yo! She's just asking for it. Stop that. Don't be that person.
That's what the world said.
I can see that, but you ought to be allowed to be whatever musical performer you want to be.
No one's saying she can't be what she wants to be. But I'm saying if you're choosing to be that performer, you're opening yourself up to some shots.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, looks like her big arena tour of North America may be canceled because she won't do any press or promotion for the tour.
Oh, good.
And she has stopped any and all social media interactions, so there's no way really to promote the tour if she won't talk about it. Iggy's Great Escape Tour, which is ironically named, has been booked into 25 cities from Fresno, California, down to Austin, Texas. And it looks like that may be bad news for Iggy's people and for the people who are supposed to open for her, like Nick Jonas. All right, if you have a Nick Jonas open up your tour, maybe it should be canceled.
He's got a huge top 10 hit album and single right now. He's back, Nick Jonas.
Is he Nick Jonas, though?
He is Nick Jonas. He is, yeah.
Well, that should please all the hardcore rap fans who go to see Iggy Azalea to have Nick Jonas open up for her.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
You know what I really started to feel bad for Iggy, though, was when she said she was so relieved that she didn't win the Grammy that she was up for Best Rap.
What?
Because she said, I just couldn't take the hate. I just couldn't take how many people would be so mean to me if I won a Grammy in that category.
Yeah. Gotta be careful what you wish for, people.
I guess so.
And did Omar send in my clip from Mumford?
He did.
The Mumfords?
Yep.
New album from the Mumfords. Mumford and, of course, all of his sons. They are once again releasing new music. They've got a new single that was released yesterday. And, Kevin, you'll be happy to know that there are no banjos, no mandolins.
Oh, the world is changing for the better.
This is from their full album, Wilder Mind, which will be out on May 4th. This is the first single. It's called Believe. And I guess people like Kevin can be happy that they won. Me, personally, I'm not so happy. Here's Believe.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, time and a half.
Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
That is a very different sound for them.
Oh, that's not it? Come on, Ralph. We're still buddies, right?
That's just a long clip to play for that joke. It's getting longer every time you play it. Great. They have a new Coldplay single they just released.
I like that.
But what? Do we need that band again on the radio?
Well, we need fewer banjos. I know that.
Wait, look, you didn't care for that, right? But at least they sounded different. They sounded like something that was somewhat unique. This song sounds like every other arena rock song released in the past 20 years.
Needs banjo, Kevin.
It needs banjo.
Yep.
It needs mandolin. At least they created something that was somewhat different. This single sounds exactly like Coldplay or Oasis or every other band out of Britain.
But I like Coldplay and I like Oasis.
But they exist. Luckily for you, you can go listen to them.
Right.
How about something else? Why are you banjo shaming? Kevin's a banjo shamer.
He is.
I'm going to throw a party for Banjo Man, and we're going to be at the Coliseum with all those women, and Banjo Man and I are going to dance together.
Oh, Kermit just tweeted. He's in.
Kermit's in?
Yep.
Oh, thank God.
He loves banjo.
All right. I have an email now that I can't get to now because Kevin's a banjo shamer. Today's celebrity birthday.
You're too depressed now. You can't muster the enthusiasm for it.
Chuck Norris is 75 years old today. Shannon Tweed turns 58. Sharon Stone is 57. Jeff Ament, guitarist for Pearl Jam, is 52 years old today. Is it Ament or Ament? I've heard both.
I've heard both ways.
All right, either way, Jeff, guitar guy, 52 years old today. John Hamm, 44 years old today. Bean's looking forward to Mad Men very much. Remember when he said that? Yeah, there we go. Timberland is 43. Robin Thicke, 38. Danny Pudi from Community is 36. Carrie Underwood's 32. And actress Olivia Wilde turns 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us right now. Is he going to be Petros today or is he going to be Latros? What's your feel?
I'm thinking it's going to be Petros.
Okay.
Yeah, he's coming up La Cienega. He'll be
joining us in about 15 minutes or so with Ralph Garman as we break down the three-hour finale of The Bachelor on ABC last night. Looking forward to seeing the P again. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls. We've got fun and sexy, even music, too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
One video we're not going to be playing on the radio here because it's in Japanese, but you have to see how to make a fried dumpling in 3 seconds.
Oh, I've seen it. It's craziness.
Oh, this is the second one, dude. This is a new one.
This is a new one, yeah. They made another food item last time, but basically they take all of the ingredients and then they shoot them through a tube that then goes through a fireball and cooks them, puts them together and cooks them in 3 seconds. I mean, it's an unbelievable waste of time and resources. But it's very funny. You might want to check that one out. Here's a guy who is back. He's the guy, what's his name? Mikey Boltz, I think, is what his name is.
Yeah.
And he does tons of cartoon voices, tons of all kinds of voices, but cartoon voices is kind of his specialty. And he has song. He's like that guy who does 10 songs and 10 voices. He has done Uptown Funk, the Bruno Mars, Mark Ronson song, in various cartoon voices. So all of his favorite characters from, you know, like the Family Guy and American Dad and stuff like that. He's pretty good at it, too. Listen up.
'Cause Uptown Funk can give it to ya. 'Cause Uptown Funk can give it to ya. Saturday night we in the sport. Didn't believe it, just walk.
Very talented guy. Check that out. Blank Page is the big Taylor Swift hit from a few weeks ago. It has now been redone with all lyrics and a video all about Game of Thrones, which I guess the new season is coming up here pretty soon, right, Dave?
Yeah, April 12th.
April 12th, new. This is on the Nerdist Network, and if you love Game of Thrones, maybe this will tide you over till the series comes back.
You could die in a sword fight or burn in dragon's flames. Just when they think it's all right, I crossed off another name. So much damage. Seven kingdoms, you could say I'm insane, 'cause you know I love Kingslayers, and you love Game of Thrones.
I know that there are an awful lot of TV shows like this, but if you don't watch Game of Thrones, everything that you see and read about Game of Thrones makes it seem really dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what's funny about Game of Thrones? I think this is going to be the first time ever where the TV series is going to end and wrap up before the books.
Well, that is odd.
Yeah, he just announced that. J.J., what's his name? J.R. or
J.J. Watts, I think.
Yeah, J.J. Watts, yeah. Yeah, the author. Yeah, he just announced that the show's going to end before the books are done.
That's weird. So what are they going to do about this, whatever happens in the final book, though? Are they just not going to, that's never going to be part of the show? That's weird.
No, whatever, you know, on the TV show, he's probably going to write it into a book and be like, there you go, people. Get off me now.
That is strange. Well, he's like 75 years old, and he's typing as fast as he can. And these books are like 800 pages each. So he's just got to hustle just to get done, I guess. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I'm waiting until I get through House of Cards. But The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is the new Netflix series that people are raving about. It's from a lot of the same people that brought us 30 Rock, and apparently it's great. And here's a viral video that kind of promotes that. This is the show. You guys know which one it is. This is the show where the girl comes up out of, you know, she's been underground for like 25 years in a cult, assuming right. that the world ended, and then she comes back up upstairs, and it turns out that the world is still there. Well, here's a songified version of the news report explaining how she was saved from the cult leader.
I was outside talking about time for my grandson when out of nowhere, 400 police vehicles came walking. They were busting up in that weird old white dude's house. He had a coke up in there. White dudes were on the record for creepy crimes. But females are strong as hell. Unbreakable.
It's not a song until it's songified. That's what we've always said. A lot of music on this edition of the Kevin Amina Internet Roundup. This one is my favorite of the batch, though. This is a kid named Brody Cries who has a bar mitzvah coming up. That's when you turn 13 in the Jewish faith. And he did a video where he reenacts the videos of all sorts of popular songs. Like he did Lord Royals, and he did Blurred Lines, where you get to see him naked. And this one, I think maybe this is the part where he's singing Happy, inviting everybody to his big party.
Because I'm Jewish. If you feel like Old Testament is the truth, because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you're 13, that means you're no longer a youth. Because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you just tried Manischewitz and it tastes like juice. Because I'm Jewish. Clap along if you're my maid, you wear a really expensive suit.
I didn't know this was a category, but it is clearly the best bar mitzvah invitation ever, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a category either, but I've never seen one better.
I don't even know what he's talking about, and it's still funny.
Yeah. We talked yesterday a little bit about Traffic Jam Jimmy. This is the guy in Maryland who they threw it to him live for a traffic report, and he was in the drive-thru at the McDonald's window ordering himself a fish sandwich. Here's his reaction when he realized he was live on TV.
Stay put. It's bad out here. I've been out since 4. Man, I didn't know we were coming live. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm hungry, so I'm going to get a little something to eat. I expect you to work for 8 hours in the car. You got to eat, Candace. All right, anyway, don't tell the boss I did this.
I told you we were coming to you. All right.
A couple of weekends ago, Ronda Rousey of the UFC won another one. She's 11-0 now. And in press leading up to it, she did an interview with an MMA show. And I don't know anything about this host or this show. Do you, Dave? Is this guy well known?
No. I mean, he's just a dude, Aaron True, who hosts an internet show. And he had Ronda Rousey on and made fun of her. Not made fun of her, but he said that she couldn't take on a guy.
Yeah, and you don't say that to Ronda Rousey. So here's what happened next.
I don't think you have as much strength and can compete with a man, even though I'm a...
Sorry.
I felt my ribs crush. I felt my ribs break, I think.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Oh, no. I'm serious. Are you okay?
All right. Two things. First of all, even though I'm a white belt, why would you ever even say that? Isn't that where you start? Aren't I a white belt and I'm not even in MMA?
You are.
All right.
Probably,
second, yeah. Allie, you know what this guy felt like. Didn't you get picked up and thrown to the ground by Ronda Rousey one time?
I got thrown over onto my back, landed on both a mic pack and my earpiece pack.
All right.
Not expecting it. She was just going to show me an armbar just with my arm.
Right.
But then she straddled my head with her legs and... It was the best moment of my life. It was awesome.
She is so fast and so strong. I don't think there's anybody she couldn't pick up and throw to the ground. John Oliver, who does great work on The Last Week Tonight Show on HBO, he has a feature he does every week called How Is This Still a Thing? And this week, appropriately, he tackled Daylight Saving Time.
Daylight Saving Time. How is this still a thing? You've been groggy all day after losing an hour of sleep to Daylight Saving. Of course, daylight saving doesn't benefit farmers. Cows don't care what time it is because they're cows, and cows are idiots.
We got to get rid of that daylight saving time, though. We got to. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel. It's a bit that never gets old. He beeps people saying things that aren't dirty at all and makes them sound dirty. This week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Now, my job is pretty easy. I'm here to her.
A bad is worse than no.
If you're like me and you have like 50 in your,
it's you don't have 50.
First three guys, then have one guy with two guys, then have another guy, then there's one guy left.
So filthy. Go to KRock.com or KevinAndBean.com. See all these videos and more. It's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah.
He's the most handsome man in Southern California radio, ladies and gentlemen. The co-host of the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Our old friend Petros Papadakis joins us in studio. Hey, the P.
I made it here. What's popping with y'all?
We haven't seen you in person, and I feel like in a couple of months. It's great to see you,
yeah,
sir.
I was riding dirty up the 405.
Yeah, I know
the
you were, man.
The old Papadakis trifecta. Solo in the carpool lane.
Excellent.
No seatbelt.
Good.
Cell phone straight to the head, screaming at Dave, the King of Mexico. It's trifecta. And I went right by CHP, like, just daring him. Almost wanting to be pulled over so I could text Dave, like, sorry, it's over.
Well, you deserve to be pulled over. I know we have other things to talk about, and of course the Bachelor Report is coming up, but how do you justify being special enough to ride in the carpool lane by yourself?
Oh, this
annoys me.
I've been able to answer that question for at least 13 years now.
Okay.
And that's about as long as I've been coming on this show, maybe 14.
All right.
And that is cable television and AM radio. Allow me to, it's almost like a ticket, like a bus pass.
I see.
In the city.
So if they were to pull you over, you could say that and they would go,
yeah,
you're good?
Yeah.
Peace out?
Sometimes.
Now, how about Kevin being on FM radio?
Always.
Does Kevin get the same consideration just being on FM, or do you need the cable TV component?
I hate to bring up old things and wounds of the past, but I believe Kevin, upset with traffic, once took a helicopter to Staples. So I'm not really, riding dirty in the carpool lane to make it to a radio interview is a little different than going, drunk in the Kobe copter.
How dare you?
To the Ritz.
All right, P, listen, Bachelor Report is coming up, but yes. since you're here, and we appreciate you so much, we do want to talk about sports. Today is a big, big day for NFL fans, and I know for non-sports fans, they're like, please, the Super Bowl just ended. How can we still be talking about football? But it's a 12-month-a-year thing, what's going on with watching the teams restructure, right?
Well, because of the popularity of the NFL, and it is wildly popular now. It's never been more popular. Almost top-heavy and grossly, bloated to where it could explode at any moment and everybody would die.
Now, today's the day that they have free agency, right?
Yeah, so they've made it like a whole season of, so we had the Super Bowl, of course, and then we have the Combine, and now we have pro days. Today's UCLA's pro day. Tomorrow is USC's pro day. There's a bunch of fat guys frying in the sun holding stopwatches, watching literally just these statuesque young men in their underwear, run and do things and flex for them, and they measure them. It is the grossest, creepiest meat market that you can. They give them a test to see how, is he smart? Well, I don't want him to be too smart now. Come on, So there's that. And now is free agency. And then, of course, we have the circus that has become the draft and the celebration of the NFL that is. I mean, it is, like you're saying, it is a never-ending season because are interested.
What's happening with the 49ers? Is it a fire sale? everything must go?
They've imploded. Well, they hired a coach. They hired a coach who was an assistant coach on their staff. I think he was the defensive line coach. And he had a long mullet and a stash,
Sweet.
This guy, Tom Sula. And, it seems to be just dissipating from there.
Now, they got rid of Martin Gore, right?
Yeah, Frank Gore.
Martin Gore's the Depeche Mode guy, Kevin.
Yeah.
He was playing for the 49ers?
Was Gore the guy that just couldn't get along with Gahan?
Apparently so.
God, nobody got arrested after trashing a hotel room, like a boutique hotel, like the Sunset Marquee. Nobody could get arrested just shirtless and leather pants, quite like Gahan. But Frank Gore. Look, you know, these people get upset. Of course, the people in Detroit are upset because Ndamukong Suh is moving on. Patrick Willis, one of the great linebackers, a 30-year-old guy, has decided to retire relatively early.
Yeah, that seems early.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes to football, I never blame a guy. If he doesn't want to get hit anymore, that means, you know, he ain't coming back. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm going to come. Not like Dion coming back returning punts. You know, a linebacker like that, if he's hanging it up, I don't blame him. And then Frank Gore is they're done with him, too, and I guess he is going to try to play somewhere else. But the truth is, there's only one sport. I mean, it's going to be difficult to replace Tom Brady, okay?
Right.
Peyton Manning, stuff like that. But there's only one sport where guys are truly the most replaceable, and that's football. So people shouldn't cry too many tears about this guy moving on or that guy moving on or the old bastard that your team signs. You know, Chip's freaking out over here because of Sue. You know, not that he's old. He's still playing at a pretty high level and not a bad investment. That's why he got so much money. But you know, these guys get hurt. They're very expendable. And careers end pretty quick. And there's a slippery slope in the world of football.
And the teams are being asked to spend a tremendous amount of money sometimes.
Well, the money's being made, you know. And that's I never begrudge anybody their salary in sports because the money is being made. Sports is one of the last things that people will watch live. You know, yep. They don't want to get texts that tell you what happened in the Laker game. They want to watch it live. So that means the commercials still sell. That means there's a lot of money to be made in sports. And if that money's going to be made, I'm comfortable with it being made by the guys between the lines.
I
you
am
know.
Too, but as a team, if you're signing somebody for $100 million, now all of a sudden you've got a cap and you have to worry about signing your quarterback.
Pick up a couple homeless guys right down the street. You go over with a U-Haul, you get about 10 dudes, you go over there, you teach them how to run a 9 route, you're in great shape. Just kidding.
All right, Petrus is here from the Petrus Money radio show. Hey, we're going to take a break and do Bachelor, but can I ask you for 30 seconds on my favorite story,
Pete? Yeah, sure.
Murray State.
Uh-huh.
Murray State is the team that was undefeated in their conference until the last game and isn't going to make the tournament, the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing to me.
Look, that's the way of the bootlegs conference.
Is it just that their conference is so small that only one team makes it from the whole conference?
Yeah,
is that why?
And dude, it used to be worse. Like when I was much younger, actually even before a little bit before I was born probably, you had to win the Pac-10, now Pac-12, to go to the NCAA tournament. Well, UCLA, you would never lose, obviously. They had USC teams with, like, Paul Westfall on them that were undefeated and would lose two games a year to UCLA, second place in the Pac-10.
Wow.
And they wouldn't go to the tournament. You know, now, obviously, a lot more of the power conference schools get in. You almost half the Big Ten, I think, is looking to get in the tournament this year. But when it comes to those little bootleg schools with the stubby white guys, hey, man, you better... You got to, hey, all those white guys, you got to win that freaking conference tournament, you know, unless you're like Gonzaga or something. And then
it's so heartbreaking, though, to see the year that they have, and that's it. It's just over. But then again, I never heard of the OVC conference before, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Ovaries, being only you would weep for
yes,
Murray State.
He's upset about Murray State.
But there are a lot of these weird schools that have kind of, like Wichita State, the Shockers. Have you ever seen their, they do this in the crowd?
Oh, yeah, they do.
I got that T-shirt. TV, Pete. They Shockers. Yep. Just a bunch of white dudes in the crowd. Shockers. and then there's Northern Iowa. That not as exciting. The Panthers. But those little schools in Gonzaga, of course, you know, they've kind of become. Gonzaga's done it for more than a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
They become much bigger than where they play, and it's exciting. It's a fun time of year. Kind of sucks that college basketball goes in the start of November. You know, but we only pay attention that they've kind of castrated their own product with the tournament.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's true.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to switch gears about as much as we can switch gears. When we return, it's going to be the breakdown of last night's Bachelor finale.
Where's Ralph Harrison? Will you fight him.
We had him on yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He's scared. He's scared. Running from me, Harrison.
We'll be right back on K-Rock. Ashley Escada from CNET joins us in about 25 minutes or so to talk about everything that went down at the Apple presentation yesterday. First, though, it's a very sad Tuesday for Bachelor fans because your show had its finale last night, and it's time for the Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garmin.
that on the phone. Do you hear me when I... No, you don't hear me doing that on the phone. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the
spot, so you don't have to watch. So nice to see Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis together in the same room for The Bachelor
Report. Like Batman and Robin.
That's right.
Because it's a very, very special day.
We're in the Batch Cave.
I am a... I'm Robin.
Hell right you are.
Yeah, I'm Burt Ward.
You say hell right you are?
Hell right.
Okay.
Ralph, I'm not stupid. Ralph gets to be Batman. Yeah.
So, Ralph, I got the sense from you without talking about it that you enjoyed the show last night. I get the impression from P's tweet last night that he thought it was a giant waste of time.
What?
Worst finale ever. So
boring.
Why
do you hate love?
So much face cupping. So much love.
Why do you hate love?
I feel like Ralph and P have been on a different track this whole season.
Such a no-brainer.
Whitney goes back to Arlington, Iowa to meet the family for one last time.
I would never tell anybody to smoke.
With
Crystal. But she should smoke a pack a day to fix her voice.
Because she has a voice I'm hearing that way.
Shrill and awful.
But what about when she gave that touching toast at the family dinner when she met the family for the first time and she had a meltdown?
She can't shut up.
Here's her toast at the family dinner.
It feels really good to be welcomed with open arms and really does feel like family to me. And I want you to know how much I love your son and your brother. And how important this is to me. And I really appreciate being here. And can we just cheers?
If you're in that family, don't you think she's insane if she starts crying the first time she meets you at dinner?
They don't see people. It's emotional. It's like seeing Dr. Livingston in the middle of Africa.
She came out of the brush. And
yeah, they're like, oh, God, a person. We always talked about this from the beginning of the season. The winner of this season is the loser because they have to move and tend to the corn with this
Whitney.
Guy.
She loved it. She loved being on the combine, driving around, picking those shucking those corn cobs.
She's got the sister wives dress on.
She does.
Loved
it.
It was three excruciating hours.
Here's the thing about Whitney. She wants a family so badly. Her dad abandoned her. Her mother passed away. She wants a family so badly she would marry anybody they put in front of her.
Oh, man.
But somebody's got to let this girl know. And I believe somebody will at a certain point. Somebody's got to let her know. You don't have to move to Iowa, to a town of 200. To find any kind of person that will procreate with you.
With that voice, she might have to move to Iowa.
That might be her only option.
Fill the planes.
Here's Whitney talking to Chris's mom, telling her Chris's mom why she fell in love with her son.
What do you love about my son?
I don't think that I'm in love with him. I know that I am. The more I get to know him, the way that he makes me feel like the only woman in the entire world.
You're not even the only woman in this process, let alone in the entire world. You're not even the only woman in that room that he's thinking about marrying.
I hate the only woman in the entire world.
How many girls start out on The Bachelor?
24, 30 this
30.
Year. 30. 30 this year.
What about the camera assist woman? I mean, what about the I'm the only, we're the only two people in the whole world. No, you're not. You're just the only two people on camera. There's a craft service table of 50 just around the corner.
How can she know there's another woman in the hotel that he's thinking about marrying and still think that she's the only woman in the world for him?
And she's not sexual. She's angular and gross and
but
shrill.
She's good for farm work.
She has no sexual appeal. She's like a farm wife.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a match made in heaven.
You know, but you like I
he's
like
a dullard
think...
and she's a butter churn and together they make a perfect match.
Maybe I watch too much porn, but I like to think of the farm as just a real voluptuous, with her behind hanging out of jeans, a jean skirt and a tie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Eating the Carl's Jr. burger, ready to service the
farmer's
farmer.
Daughter.
Yeah, not American Gothic.
Well, it turns out Chris had a pretty easy choice to make because...
The other girl didn't even like him. 3 hours, the other girl didn't even like him, but we had to sit
interested.
There for 3 hours.
What? She was not interested
the
in him whatsoever.
The whole show for 3 hours?
Not the whole show, but when it got down to it, I think the problem with Becca was that she's a reasonable person.
Oh, okay.
And so they got to the end of the process, and she said, I'm not willing to say that I'm going to marry you and move. That's insane. Who would do that?
Does that happen often?
No.
If you don't throw yourself at the altar of The Bachelor and commit your life to marriage in some horrible place, then you ain't getting the ring at the end.
Right.
He was like, look, hey, I like you. What do you say? Well, I don't know.
Well, we'll date and we'll see how it goes, and maybe. I mean, does she not understand what TV show she's on?
She apparently didn't, and I think the producers were furious with her because she was a completely reasonable person who said, we've been on like 8 dates. Can we just, how about we just hang out for a while and see how things go?
And old Mosquito Hands Harrison is like, hey, listen, Mia Lane's around the corner with a ring, okay? We got to get this moving, Becca.
And the farmer could not comprehend why she didn't want to marry him and move to Iowa. It's like, what's wrong with me? Why don't you want to marry me? It was very awkward.
Maybe the question I should ask is, why don't you feel like you're in love with me?
What?
I don't know.
It's all okay.
Well, I don't know. And I want so badly to be able to answer that question.
But I'm not insane.
Oh, how could you possibly not be interested in me? That's an insane question.
So the girls show up.
I've asked many women that question.
The girls show up to the barn.
Why don't you love me?
And Becca gets out of the limo first. And he says, I'm sorry. It's not going to work out. She's like, all right, cool.
Yeah,
not a tear.
No.
There was more crying
best
on the first. The plus size model cries more
right.
when she was sent away last fall when the show started.
Becca, like, high-fived him and slapped him on the butt and said, hey, get out
back,
there.
Going
good
back
luck.
To Shreveport, going to give me a guy with Bama bangs.
Right. Let go, let God.
Did she live in San Diego, though?
She lives in San Diego
you
now.
You know what?
Yeah.
Then now that I think, see, when I knew that she was from Shreveport, I said, well, it makes sense. She's a virgin and she don't know no better. She's from Shreveport. But now that I know she lives in San Diego, I think Becca has some emotional block to where she wasn't willing to just give herself to the process and the journey.
She didn't go. She wasn't there for the right reason.
How are you living in San Diego and still a virgin, man? All those surfer guys down there just glistening with the salt water.
Maybe she's holding on to her special place for a special person.
She ain't been to Mission Beach.
Or Black's Beach.
Oh, Black's.
Yeah, Black's. So then Whitney gets out of the limo. She's very, very excited. In fact, her nerves are doing something that is physically impossible.
On a scale of 1 to 10... my nerves are off the charts.
That's not an option. It's 1 to 10.
First
pick
all,
a number. On your scale, 1 to 10, off the charts is not on the list.
Whitney, she reminded me because she was shaking horribly because it was freezing in a barn.
In a barn
where they did the
she
proposal
got in a barn, a cold barn,
and it reminded me just like of a skeleton in the corner of like a science class,
chattering teeth.
Because there's nothing to her, you know. There's just nothing, and then she didn't even like you know when you're about to be proposed to by the man, you know. Usually the lady just kind of stands there demurely,
yeah,
and just lets it go down.
Ugh.
She couldn't do.
Couldn't
that.
Shut up. She just could not shut up.
Oh.
But he kissed her. He gave her the ring.
I'm the luckiest girl in the entire world.
She's the luckiest man.
I'm the luckiest man.
He's the luckiest man. I'd be a luckier man if that other girl that I liked loved me.
Yeah. I'm the luckiest man now that I've got my second choice that we accepted my ring.
But these second choices sometimes work out.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Kevin and I disagree, but I say they absolutely will get married. Don't you think these two will get married?
What else are they going to do? Well, you know, look, there's always
not
this.
Not get married. Yeah, it's...
Well... Not,
the
in,
whole
not
thing,
in Iowa.
The whole thing is a joke. It's a competition. Nobody's looking for to get married.
But some of these idiots do.
Yes, that's
you know,
what I'm
we've
saying.
Had some recent idiots get married. There's a new bachelor child with the other shrill shrew, that horrible woman who married the bald idiot from JP or J. Remember?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
right,
she's married.
She's married.
Dez is on
kids.
Her way to getting married.
Yeah.
And that was a second choice.
When does the Bachelor Kids come on? I want to see that show.
Bachelor Kids? I don't think they've done that yet. Right. But the most important
most
part
of
was...
Most of them are violent and a lot of hitting in preschool.
Was after the final rose, and they brought out the happy couple, and she was still shaking for some reason. It looked like a very warm studio, but she was still shaking. But the big announcement at the end, the shocking announcement, the shocking announcement!
And it was shocking, but
shocking!
Also, it was shocking, but very... But left many questions in the
right! That's why it's shocking and exciting.
What they did this already on the Bad Girls Club. You know, the Bad Girls
don't
Club.
Don't taint my Bachelorette.
Oh,
with
Bad
your
Girls
Bad Club's Girl
a pretty Club. Good show. That's a pretty good show.
It was.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, instead of picking one Bachelorette, they've got two Bachelorettes.
How's that going to
work? Exactly!
How's that going to work?
Exactly, Kevin. How is that going to work?
I think, from what I heard last night, and, you know, Harrison's a terrible host.
He's not terrible! awesome! It was shocking!
He barely could explain it. What I gathered is they got these two hotties,
One maybe slightly hotter than the other.
A lot hotter.
Who are they? Which
Britt and Caitlin.
Britt and
Caitlin. Oh, was she the smelly one?
Smelly.
Yes.
And rappy.
Yes.
Oh. Smelly and rappy. Smelly are going to be the rappy. two bachelorettes.
She can rap a little.
She can throw some, spit some verses.
She spits hot fire.
Yo. Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. Sure. I've been working so hard, time and a half.
Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can do Nicholas last.
He's got rhythm like a special needs kid in the Olympics.
He's got rhythm like a corn farmer.
Yes.
So how much time till the new Bachelor with
May? Well, we got Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh.
That's over the summer, though.
Yeah, but we're not. Ralph refuses to cover that with me.
What?
Yeah, I cover it.
It's not real.
How do you? What do you mean it's not real? None of it is.
Ralph is kind of a bachelor snob.
I'm a purist. But in May, the two bachelorettes square off.
Are they competing for the same men?
They fight.
Here's what I think happens.
The first night, the 25 men at the first cocktail party get to pick which one of the girls they want to pursue.
Yeah, but one of them will leave in humiliation after all this buildup. Like, I think I'm the bachelorette. I think I'm the bachelorette. I think I'm the bachelorette. Oh, I'm back in a limo crying to a producer.
Yes. As Caitlin said last night, it's not an ideal situation.
That's what you want before something begins.
Yes. So how do you feel about being one of the two bachelorettes? She goes, well, it's not an ideal situation. So I think maybe it wasn't what she expected.
Because they can't have the two chicks messing with the guys and going back
the same
and forth.
Time and three ways.
No, that would be horrible.
Terrible.
That would be horrible. Who wouldn't want to see that?
That's not how you find love.
No.
No, not
how
with
you find joy.
I'm sorry to say, guys, we're out of time.
No! Come on!
No!
P, you're going to be continuing this afternoon with Matt on AM 570, correct?
Yeah, 5 o'clock. Matt loves this.
He sure does.
I get the sense Matt does not suffer this well.
Well, you know, Matt wants to talk CNBC and golf.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Bachelor comes his way.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's come to accept it, you know, much like an abusive relationship.
Much like Kevin and Bean have with us in the morning.
Yeah, we resisted it at first, but now we're on board.
Now you guys love it. Now old Batman and Robin can come in here and just, you know, sexual escapades.
Take it easy.
Like Burt Ward and Adam West.
Thanks, P. Thanks, Ralph.
I leave the union.
Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:58.
We're going to get all techie with our friend Ashley Escada from CNET coming up after the top of the hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's good to have a lot of money. That's what I found out.
Okay. Because?
Jim Irsay, owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Who was fined $500,000 last September by the NFL for a DUI.
Right.
Turned around and bought himself a little guitar this week. It was a guitar that John Lennon played on the Beatles' 1966 single Paperback Writer. Remember that song, Paperback Writer?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think he paid for John Lennon's guitar from that song?
$250,000.
How much?
$250,000.
Oh, Kevin.
$1.2 million.
All right. Why don't you guys split the difference?
All right.
Get down to about $530,000 in the check that he wrote for his guitar. Apparently, he has the most priceless guitar collection in the world. He just collects priceless guitars.
Wow.
That's what he does with his life.
This is the Colts owner?
Colts. Mm. Yep. Here's what he should buy.
He also has Frank Gore.
Buy a razor. Buy a razor for Andrew Luck.
Did you drive you crazy?
Buy more razors for Luck with his freaking neck beard, his troll living under the bridge, Andre the Giant neck beard.
That is a bad look. That's a bad look.
Gore's going to the Colts?
I think. That's what they're saying this morning, yeah.
Yeah.
Martin Gore, Kevin?
Yeah,
Martin Gore is, Kevin.
I refer to him.
I showed Chip. I had written the name down as Martin Gore.
Martin Gore is 48 years old?
Hmm.
Is that a good running back age? I don't know. You should be 48 and still playing in the NFL. I'm out of time, Rudy. God damn it.
You just got started.
I know. Tell me about it.
Well, I think you guys, in our defense, you guys ate up a lot of time this hour with The Bachelor.
Boom. How about sports before that?
All right.
In my defense. How about that? you guys familiar with Uber Sex?
The phenomenon of
Uber Sex? The Uber Sex app?
No.
It was all over the place on the internet this week. Everybody was talking about it.
Okay.
It created quite a stir
when people started getting invitations to join Uber Sex, where it was you hook up your Uber with your Tinder, and they send you a driver that wants the same thing sexually that you do. You can have sex with your Uber driver. They give you a lift, and you have sex with them.
Okay.
Wow. No.
It's not a real thing.
Oh.
It was a hoax. But a ton of people bought into it, thinking it was the real thing.
Yeah, I'll do it!
Which made me laugh so hard. It was created by a guy named Jensen May, who, by the way, sent me an email. And this is the guy who actually created the Uber Sex app. One person actually bought into it. Let me read you the email. Recently, I made a video for a fictional app called Uber Sex. The idea was that instead of Tinder, young single people could hook up through a sex option on their Uber app to instead of having to deal with dating. This app requires no money. The slogan is, no payment, no fees, no subscriptions, just the tip. And I actually convinced a few thousand people it was real over the weekend, despite it obviously being fake. Imagine my surprise when I got a ride request from porn star Marina Angel. I don't know what the odds are of that happening, but I showed her the Uber Sex video during the ride, and she loved it. She even retweeted it to her fans. All I'm trying to say is, I gave an Uber to a hottie!
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I gave an Uber to a hottie. I gave an Uber to a hottie.
Right?
Anyway, you can see the video online of her in the ride, and also you can see the Uber Sex commercial online, which is also very funny. I thought for sure you guys would have heard about
no,
it.
No, I had not.
Yeah, people were like, is this thing real? Can you do this?
Ralph's hot first.
Turns out you can't. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Norris is 75 years old today. Shannon Tweed turns 58. Sharon Stone is 57. Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam is 52. John Hamm, soon to be seen in the final episodes of Mad Men.
I get...
Yeah, me
what
too.
What do you get?
Oh. Yeah. 44 years old today. Timbaland is 43. Robin Thicke is 38. Danny Pudi is 36. Carrie Underwood, 32 today. And Olivia Wilde turns 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Hey, don't forget, you want to go to KROQ.com or KevinBean.com if you would like to be the opening act for our April Foolishness concert. Yes, this is the seventh year we've done April Foolishness. It's at the Shrine on April 4th, as you know, with a fantastic lineup. You can be the opening act. If you are funny, we are asking you to upload a video. We'll pick the 10 best and put them up online, and then somebody's going to vote, and then you get a couple of minutes at the front of the show to say that you open for Jay Moore, and you open for Ralphie May, and for Tenacious D. It's an outstanding opportunity for somebody who's out there who wants to be funny on stage. Go to KROQ.com for all the details.
All right. Ashley Escada has joined us in studio. Welcome,
Ashley.
Yay. Hi, guys. How is everybody?
Been?
Good.
It's great to see you. Ashley is the co-host of Tomorrow Daily and a senior editor at CNET. This is a big week in your industry. I mean, the world just stops in the world of tech when Apple has a conference, right?
It does. It does. Except for us, because we're, you know, on planes everywhere. I think almost every tech blog was also in Barcelona last week for Mobile World Congress,
okay,
which is a big conference. And then everybody had to, like, rush back and get to San Francisco for this Apple event.
You don't have people, like, two people working there?
Well, so it's like four at CNET.
Okay,
I mean,
right.
So it's – everybody was kind of there and had already planned that trip. And then all of a sudden Apple, you know, kind of does this thing where they, like, suddenly announce an event and everyone has to kind of scramble to get into San Francisco.
All right. Now, before we get into the specifics of yesterday, and there was some news that was made with the introduction of the Apple Watch, among other new technologies from Apple. What has the sense been in recent years? The company is more profitable than it's ever been. I think it's the most valuable company in the world now. Mm-hmm. What has the sense been since we lost Mr. Jobs and replaced him with Mr. Cook? Have people been feeling good in the tech world about Apple?
I think people have been feeling good. I know that before Steve Jobs passed away, there was sort of this idea that he had kind of had his hands on or was involved in things that were about 5 years ahead of whatever they were doing at the current time. So this is really the first product that Apple is releasing that might have little to no influence by Steve Jobs. So it's going to be very closely scrutinized. But generally speaking, I mean, Tim Cook has really been, before he was anointed CEO, he was a supply chain guy. This is the guy who really went in and kind of took all the air out of the supply chain for other companies. Like he
he would go in and buy out like a whole supply chain of things and just make it all Apple. And so he has a very keen business sense. And I think that he is very aware that there are a couple of markets that, you know, Apple really needed to get into, which a big China was a big one. And now the iPhone is there. And now this Apple Watch is going to be released there.
Speaking of Apple in China, by the way. How many people are working at that plant now where they put together our iPhones with their little 8-year-old fingers?
So many, right?
I mean, isn't it like 100,000 people work there or something?
It's
a
lot.
Not a joke, right?
It's a lot. Yeah, Foxconn, they've got a lot of people there. But they also, as far as I'm aware, like they also work on other, like that whole city in Guangzhou is a big kind of manufacturer of a lot of technology that we know from a lot of different companies.
Right, because they can pay pennies.
Pennies on the dollar. Yeah, of course.
All right. A lot of rumors about the iWatch. It's not even called that, is it? Is it called an iWatch?
It's the Apple Watch. They have
Apple
that,
Watch.
But it's like a it's the Apple sort of text, like the image of Apple, and then watch. Like
okay.
That's the official. Way
so we
it
heard
looks.
So many rumors, and a lot of people were saying, "Why do we even need a watch? We have everything we need in our pocket already on a smartphone." Why? I guess that's the question I have for you, Ashley. Now that you had a chance to see it roll out yesterday, do we need an Apple Watch?
I feel pretty terrible for saying this, but I think I'm still asking that question.
Really?
Like, and I think a lot of people are, which is, you know, they didn't. I was expecting yesterday at the event for Apple to come out and show me the thing that made me say, wow, that's why I need an Apple Watch. That's the reason. Okay, I'm in. I got to buy one. I got to have one. I'm pre-ordering. And, you know, it was really kind of a rehash of everything they showed us in September when they unveiled it at first. And so I don't know if maybe Apple should have waited to show us all of that stuff. Maybe people would be more excited about it. But it's all stuff that you can still do on your phone. So I don't know that they've completely sold me personally on the device. But I definitely know some people who are still planning on buying it. So.
Sure. What could they have introduced as a feature of the watch that would have been that oh wow moment for you?
You know, it's one of those I'd know it when I saw it.
But it just wasn't there?
But it just wasn't there for me. And I see all of the foundation that Apple's laying, which is to say, in the future, you're going to need your Apple Watch, or you'll use your Apple Watch to do things like you get within vicinity of your car, it starts, the air conditioning comes on depending on the temperature that the Apple Watch like senses. I mean, and then you go home and it you know, stops your security system. You can go in safely. It unlocks your door. Like, I can see all of that foundation being laid, but it's going to take time for any company, much less Apple, to get there. Like, it's just going to take time.
I remember when the iPad came out, everybody was like, I don't really need
right.
it. But then a lot of people went, but I want it anyway.
And I think that's sort of the mentality. Like, I see a lot of skepticism about the watch, including myself. I mean, I'll include myself in that. But there was a lot of skepticism amongst the tech press about the iPad. It was like, well, this is just a big iPhone.
Right.
I don't understand why we need this. And then people sort of found ways to use it. And I think a big part of that is developers. So apps, things that unexpected ways of really using the watch. And I think that one of the big ones for the iPad was streaming media. And you
right.
can't really do that on a watch. So some developer is going to find a way to sort of have that killer app or whatever it is, functionality that is going to make the Apple Watch like a must buy.
I feel like this product, more than anything in the past, they're banking on the people that just want to say they have it.
I think that, and also, you know, there might be a really interesting market for this, which is that I would have never guessed. I saw a couple people mention this on my Twitter feed where they said, you know, my mom's interested in this watch because she hates taking her phone out of her purse. And she likes to be connected.
People who don't like their phones. That makes sense.
Yeah, people who really don't want to constantly be on their phones. And she always wears a watch. So she's like, I've always traditionally worn a watch. And I think this would be a really good product for me.
But old people can't see. So aren't
right,
they, like,
I was going
to
say
right
it should be the jitterbug. You know that one phone?
You're going to get a separate. Here you go. Somebody out there invent this. Put it on Kickstarter. A set like a magnifier on
like
the top
it.
Of the screen so that you can like look at it. It'd be getting worse.
The Apple Watch goes on sale in stores on April the 24th. The starting price is $550. Tell me about the high-end one that they talked about yesterday.
Oh, so being that one is the Apple Watch, and then there's the Apple Watch Sport that starts a little bit less. It's $349.
Okay,
so you can get
great.
It a little bit less than that. But
what's the difference?
Then if you're bands and the way that it's the casing. So it's there's aluminum for the Apple Watch Sport, and then there's stainless steel.
So it just looks different. There's no no, the guts are the same.
The guts are the same. Okay. And so, and then you get into the Apple Watch Edition, which starts at an eye-watering $10,000 and goes all the way up to $17,000.
What are you talking about?
Depending on what finish, what band you get, all this stuff. There's 18-karat rose and yellow gold, and then it is crazy.
This seems $17,000 watch.
This seems like a lot of smoke and mirrors.
It's
like, hey, everybody, look at this one. It's 10 grand.
It'll be available in limited quantities. They're saying like it could be at like Selfridges at select locations. They're making this very exclusive, this sort of exclusive club that you want to join. But, you know, like most exclusive clubs, they're often maybe a little over expensive to people like you and I. But then there are some people who just, you know, they spend that amount of money on clothes once a day. It's like, so those people are going to be the people who buy it for the status symbol for, you know, to say, I have an edition watch, you know. Like I'm, and also it might be somewhat of a collector's item. If it is a first generation product from Apple, those tend to kind of be collector's items, but it's not going to appreciate in value like, say, a vintage Rolex would. I mean, it's not, it's just because the guts are going to be obsolete in a year or two.
Kevin, you need to buy 10 of them and just keep them in their boxes, I think, is of the $17,000 watch.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, just to throw out your 401k.
Ashley Escate is here. She's Ghost of Tomorrow, daily senior editor at CNET. There were some other things discussed at the Apple Live event yesterday, and we'll catch up with Ashley on that. And what else is going on in tech when we return right after this on K-Rock? Our friend Ashley Escate in studio with us right now from CNET. We're breaking down what was news yesterday at the Apple Live event. By the way, we're already getting some anti-Apple people who are calling and complaining that we spend too much time talking about Apple and not enough talking
about what?
Samsung and all the other brands that people love.
I'll come in and talk about that too.
Yeah, Ashley's good with all of that.
But Apple makes news though.
Let's just finish up with the watch though. If you want the Apple Watch, you have to have an iPhone?
Must have an iPhone. So if you don't have an iPhone, you're going to be spending a lot of money. So let's say, if you're spending $17,000 on a watch, I guess, because an iPhone is not really that big of a deal.
But I would think they would want a standalone. Everything about this seems bad to me.
Yes and no, because here's the thing. Apple has always been traditionally a walled garden. They want you in their ecosystem. They don't want you using anything else. I mean, if you wanted to watch the live stream yesterday, you had to do it from an Apple product. So, I mean, they're all about you must use it with our stuff.
Are they the evil empire or are they just smart business people?
You know, so many people argue they're, it's evil. But, you know, so much of doing business seems evil to normal people. So, I think that every company wants to make money. They're not your friend. Like, Apple, no company, all these companies, they try to make it seem like, oh, we're your friend. We're looking out for you. The thing is, no, they're there to make money. That's their job. Their job is
and
to
Apple
make money.
Apple makes a lot of it.
Apple makes a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, literally, I think Tim Cook woke up this morning on a bed full of $100 bills.
Oh, that's sweet.
Just absolutely.
He woke up like that. Hey, let's talk about the new MacBook because they really changed this up as well. A 13 millimeter thick laptop.
It is tiny.
The word that I was hearing yesterday is this is kind of the laptop for people who really like iPads.
Yeah.
You know what are people meaning when they say that?
How does it compare to the MacBook? What is it?
The MacBook Air.
MacBook Pro.
The MacBook Air. Okay,
yes,
so MacBook there's a couple of good comparisons for both these. So it is so sexy. This new MacBook is amazing. It is gorgeous. It is so thin. They have done some really amazing things with packing in the logic board and making it super tiny. So it's probably a few inches by a couple inches. Like it's little. And then all the rest of the inside of it is battery. So, but still, you're still going to get kind of similar, maybe a little less than a MacBook Air or MacBook Pro. So it's right all in the same neighborhood. But
okay.
Maybe a little less because it has a Retina display. It's very, very thin. It weighs 2 pounds. So super lightweight. So
how much does the Air weigh?
The Air is, I believe, like just over 2. So I want to say like 2.3, something like that.
So ounces make a difference in this case.
They do. I think they do for people who travel a lot and also for people who are constantly moving their laptops. So students, people who are carrying around. But the thing is the price is not really student friendly. It's a little more expensive. It starts at $1,299 for it's a 12-inch MacBook, and it's just called MacBook. Like that's – it's no Air, no Pro. It only has one port on it, which
this is weird because
Apple's ticked people off in the past, like when they changed the little thing that you plug your iPhone into. They changed the pins on that. And now, is this a whole new system and none of your previous plugs are going to work?
Correct. But this is actually a really exciting kind of thing because for the first time, Apple is making something with a port that is a universally kind of accepted port. So this is actually going to open up the gates a little bit, which
so no USB ports even on this thing.
It is a USB port, but it's new USB, so it's called USB Type-C. And you know how frustrating it is when you go to put in something on USB and you can only put it in one way?
Yes.
Okay,
it's annoying.
Well, this is now you can put it in either way. You don't have to worry about it. And it definitely is in there, and which is really nice. But so because of the thinness of the laptop, they have one of those ports. And then on the other side, there's a headphone jack. And that's it. There's no other ports on this. But of course, for the for a small fee of $79, you can buy an adapter for this USB Type-C that will actually open up an HDMI port. So it plugs into the side, and then it's got three ports. So it's got your power, HDMI. It's got a couple of and a USB.
So they've made those ports external so that they can make the MacBook thinner.
Right. And so you're going to be I think this might actually be maybe a trend going forward. We might be seeing less and less ports on laptops and then sort of an adapter or hubs, you know, USB hubs, things like that.
My MacBook Pro, when I watch anything on Netflix, it gets so hot, doesn't even matter if the fan's going, whatever. Mm-hmm. Fanless?
This is totally fanless, which makes me a little nervous.
Like our show.
That scares the crap out of me.
The iPad and your iPhone are fanless, obviously, and it runs on, you have flash memory on this, so it's similar to that. So it's an SSD drive. It's, I believe, 512, and or 256, and then 512 is the more expensive one. And so they're hoping that the new Intel Core M chip is, like, going to be cooler, because I know that Intel's been working on fanless processor chips. So, but I still have some concerns about that. And also the performance with that chip has actually traditionally, like we tested on our site, we did a review for the, I believe it was the Lenovo Yoga 3. And we were a little disappointed in that chip. So I don't think it's going to have, obviously, if you're like me and you need your laptop to do things like video production, this is probably not the laptop for you. We're still obviously going to review it. We're going to put it through its paces. And you'll be able to go over on CNET, shameless self-plug, and see that. but at the end of the day, I mean, this really seems like a laptop that's going to be for the travelers, the people who are, you know, who really only need a couple of ports at one time. I mean, I know that when my laptop's plugged in, I plug it into, it's always on power and it's always plugged into a huge monitor on my desk. Like, it's always on an external. And so I don't know that I want to cart around, you know, adapters and stuff, but there might be people who just, you know, all they want it for lightweight. And they, like you said, it's, you know, people who really maybe wanted to take an iPad, but needed a little bit more than that.
Right. You sound a tiny bit underwhelmed by both announcements from yesterday, Ashley.
Yeah, I really liked the MacBook, but I know what my needs are as a consumer, and so I don't know that it's for me. I mean, I think I need a little bit more firepower than that. I love the USB Type-C. Like, I'm really excited. It's so lame. Like, I'm such a dork, you guys. Like, I'm excited about a connector. I'm like, yeah, USB Type-C, everybody. I'm really excited about that because I think there's a lot of possibilities there. And I also was really kind of underwhelmed with Thunderbolt, which is Apple's port that they have on MacBook Pros right now, and there haven't really been a lot of peripherals, but I think them moving to this sort of more universal standard is going to kind of open the doors on some accessories.
All right. Well, that's a great rundown of what happened yesterday. I'm sorry to say we're out of time, Ashley. We're going to have to say goodbye to you, but what's the next thing that's coming out on the horizon that you guys are excited about over at Tomorrow Daily and at CNET?
Oh, man. So Tomorrow Daily, we're always talking about future tech and space and robots and geek pop culture. It's always a fun time. Kale Anonymous is my co-host. He's wild and crazy and one of the best people I know. He works so hard. And our producer Logan always like working so hard on the show. So if you ever want to check out that, you can go to tomorrowdaily.com. It'll take you right to the CNET page. CNET is we're working on everything. It's starting to come into tech high season, which is the time of Google I/O, and we have WWDC coming like later. E3 is coming, so we have video games. There's so many things that are going to start kind of really snowballing, which is really exciting for us.
There's never a day off in your world, is there?
Never, which I love. I love it. It's exciting.
Ashley, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
So I'm on
gosh, I don't remember which one it was. One of my music sites the other day that I was staying current on, Consequence of Sound or one of those, and I see Nicole Alvarez's name. And I thought, what's K-Rock's Nicole doing in this article about something? And it turns out that she is the co-creator of a campaign called We Are All Uncool that is really catching fire. And I think sounds like it's doing some really, really good work. So we wanted to find out more about that. So we thought we'd ask our little friend Nicole to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show. And she's on the phone right now. Hey, Nicole.
Good morning, my beloved.
Great to talk to you. Now, we are live on the radio, so please watch your potty mouth. You're not allowed to say certain words on K-Rock. Did you know that?
Yeah, I'm going to try really hard because it's too early for my brain to go there anyways, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. I promise.
Good luck. Nicole, hashtag we are all uncool. What's going on here, sweetheart?
Okay, so a few weeks ago, I was on the internet, and you know, at work, we underwent some changes, and the internet just got really, really nasty. Like, a couple weeks ago, it felt toxic. I got, like, soul sick. And then Tyler Glenn, the lead singer of Neon Trees, wrote this really brave post on Facebook where he admitted all these things about himself that weren't cool, things that he would usually hide. Everything from, like, I love the movie Clueless to sometimes I like to pee in the sink.
How do you find that out? You're just walking around peeing places?
It takes one time.
Hey, I like the sink.
He said something because it's more like, it's just easy because it's more level to like the pelvic area.
All right.
Whatever. It was just like this really random stuff about himself that people would deem uncool, but it liberated him. And he said it should be okay for us to make authentic choices, be our authentic selves, and say whatever we want to say without being so harshly judged. So my friend Tamar Levine and I, she's a photographer and a director who I've always admired, we decided, well, she actually read my post. I wrote something really honest about myself. One of them being that I love Vanderpump Rules, and then the other one being like about a physical insecurity.
You have a
it's
penis.
Part tonight, huh? No, okay. I'm not ready to go there just yet. However, it sparked an idea in her, so she reached out to me, and together we thought we would start this campaign to make social media presence more honest and daring in a healthy way, so that, you know, people upload just everything that they're, like, fun things that they're doing, and it's misleading. Not everybody has a life that's cool. It makes other people depressed.
I think that's a really valuable point to make. In other words, especially digitally, the persona that people put forward all the time is that I have my S together and my life is perfect and look at me, how cool I am. And I think that's the, you know, that's the natural inclination, is you want people to like you, you want people to admire you. And what you're doing with this campaign, and we'll talk about some of the people who have already weighed in on it, is you're saying, look, we're all human beings and we're all flawed and we're all frail and we're all afraid of things and we all have insecurities, and it's okay that we do. We should be able to admit that and still all be friends.
Yeah, it's okay that it has to be okay for us to be exactly who we are, because we're a lot more connected than people realize, and it takes the pressure off of anxiety and insecurities, and it opens these dialogues for us to communicate better with each other and not be so nasty.
Is some of this, Nicole, you're thinking about young people who may be online who are 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, and they're kind of looking up to their role models and thinking, oh, they're so much better than I am, and oh, I'll never be as cool as them? Are those some of the people you're hoping to reach?
Those are some of the people I'm hoping to reach, but also older people that are in a rut and in a funk and are crippled by depression and anxiety. Just we really just kind of want to reach all walks of life and all ages. Whoever we reach.
Who are some of the people that we know of that you've heard from already who have participated in the campaign?
Oh, Jay from Bad Religion. Tony Hawk was one of the first ones to jump on board as well. And then all his skater friends and surfer friends. Josh Grease, which blew my mind. Rob Sheridan, the art director of Nine Inch Nails. I mean, singer Michelle Branch. I can go on and on. It's blown my mind.
So you're asking them to not only post a picture with the hashtag I am not cool, but also list, what, three of their insecurities or things that you may not think about them?
So it doesn't have to be three, like, super deep tearjerker things. It could be anything from I love to clean the house naked, listening to Kelly Clarkson, to...
That's mine.
That's Kevin's.
Yeah, no, and to... I'm a grown man that likes to go to Taylor Swift concerts.
That's not me.
How dare you?
And then what's happened is that people have posted those, but then people have gone some really deep places. There was a girl who blew us away who had never admitted that she was abused, and because of our campaign... It was the very first time that she shared it online to her community of friends. And then she joined some organization where she's helping people, victims of abuse, also come out and be brave and stand strong. So
that has
it
to
runs
be,
the gamut.
That has to be more than you could have ever guessed at the beginning.
We are completely and totally overwhelmed by it. And I mean, I cry every 5 minutes. Every time I read these things, just click on the hashtag. Some of the things that people are writing, they're life changing. It's awesome.
So people are really being brave, and they're getting a lot of support from people for doing it. That's awesome. Yeah. Where's the easiest place for people to go? Because this is a lot of information for people to keep straight. Where's the best place to go to kind of get a primer on what they should do?
So all you have to do is even just go to Google and type in weareallcool.com. It'll take you to our Tumblr. But on Instagram, just go to hashtag weareallcool.
Okay.
And it'll lead you to where you need to go.
And we also put up a link on the Kevin Amin Facebook page if that's an easier way to go. We should do this,
you
guys. We should all put photos up for Nicole, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would have a lot of trouble thinking about something about me that's not cool. That would be the biggest problem is trying to think of three things, but I'll try.
Bean, I think that I could write one for all of you, except for Allie, who's the coolest one of them all.
Yeah.
Oh, Nicole, you're very sweet and a liar.
I would like to hear you write for us. I would enjoy that, I think.
Do I have your permission to
Absolutely.
Do it?
Absolutely.
That might be hurtful, Kevin.
Absolutely.
I don't know that we want to open that door. That
Absolutely.
Might be hurtful.
No.
You got to remember,
Bean.
You got to remember, Nicole knows a lot of stuff about us. So I think I would like to. I'd prefer you didn't, Nicole. All right, my dear.
There's a couple on Kevin that I would love to throw out there.
All right, maybe not.
You are doing awesome work. We'll hear you tonight on K-Rock at 6 o'clock. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, love.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph Garman steps in. That means it's time for the Showbiz Beat once again here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Also time to give away some passes to the K-Rock screening of Insurgent.
Yay!
This is the second in the Divergent series. Shailene Woodley returns as Beatrice Pryor. This is in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. But you, my sweet, sweet friends, will get to see it before anybody else on March the 16th at our special K-Rock screening at the Pacific's Grove Theater. Give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through. Get a pair of passes to go see Insurgent.
Looks awesome. By the way, that Miles Teller, who we all love so much in Whiplash, is back for Insurgent. He'll be joining us on Friday morning show.
What the what?
Yeah.
He's also Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's a good deal.
That's what the ladies call him. I heard he's also in the Fantastic Four. He's got that going for him. Last night, if you saw it or not, very exciting times in the world of The Bachelor. Chris Soules and Whitney Bischoff got engaged. It was just adorable. They were there in a cold barn, and they got engaged, and Whitney said, I'm the luckiest girl in the entire world, and she
Every girl's dream to get engaged in a barn.
Because now she gets to live in Iowa on a big corn farm.
For folks who weren't with us earlier, Ralph is still convinced that they will marry.
They will marry. For sure they will marry. All she wants to do is make babies. She doesn't care who the donor is. She just needs baby, baby, baby. But the real exciting news was the Bachelorette that starts in May. Two Bachelorettes. Two.
Now, that makes sense how?
Not at all.
Okay.
But I think it's one of those, let's just mix things up. Let's shake things up. They do that on the Survivor show once in a while. Let's pit brother against brother or animal against man or snake against Plissken.
Have they done snake Plissken?
Snake versus Plissken on this year's Survivor.
Didn't realize that.
No, but, you know, sometimes they just have to take the format and add another twist.
Tweak it, sure.
Yeah, twists. Reality shows like twists.
Sure.
So they got Britt Nielsen, who is just my favorite. She's just one of the prettiest women ever.
Now, she's smelly or she's rappy?
She's smelly.
Okay.
And then fan favorite, Caitlin Bristow, who was the rapper from that show. She was rappy.
Smelly and rappy.
Smelly and rappy will go against
each other for the affection of 25 men who will vie for them. And looks like eliminate one of them on the very first show of The Bachelorette.
One of the women?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. 25 men will get together after the first cocktail party and say, we want to pursue this one. Why don't you send the other one home?
Wow.
Doing
awesome.
So much for women, that show.
How dare
really,
you?
Really helping.
It's letting women find husbands, Allie. That's hard for them.
Well, thank God. What would we do without a man in our life?
You're darn tootin'. A little less yammering for me, a little more rapping. Why can't you be more like Caitlyn?
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves were such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can get Nicholas last.
That was the prize, that man.
He was the
that
one.
Guy was the prize.
Living good times.
So you're in.
No.
Way in.
All right, Ralph. Over the past years, who's more crazy? Is it when there's a bachelor and there's all women, or when there's a bachelorette and it's all men? Are the men crazy or the women crazier?
Women are crazier. Men are worse. Like worse
like
people.
Douchebags
and just evil and arrogant and manipulative and just worse people.
Okay,
just,
all right.
Just less deserving to be on the planet. So they both have their qualities that make for entertaining viewing.
I like it.
I heard you guys talking with my Bachelor Report buddy Petros about sports earlier.
Yes.
Hockey season, of course, we're gearing up for the playoffs. It doesn't look like the Flyers are going to make it, by the way. They had their chance this weekend. They had to win a couple games, and they just fell short. Very disturbing. Ducks, they're on fire.
Yeah, they are. They sure are.
Got this email from Matt Rush, who wrote in about what's going on in the world of sports. Like you, I'm from the lovely state of Pennsylvania. I used to love going to Flyers games growing up. But after a while, hockey slowly fell out of favor for me compared to other sports during this time of year, especially with March Madness getting ready to tip off. So I was bummed when a friend offered front row Ducks tickets to me. Same Ducks tied for the best record in the league. Out of principle, I turned them down so someone who could truly enjoy them could use them. He asked me why I didn't want to go, and my answer was simple. I just can't get into hockey! I just can't get into hockey.
No! No, it's right.
Thank you, Matt Rush. Today's celebrity birthdays. Olivia Wilde's 31 years old today. Carrie Underwood's 32. Danny Pudi from Community is 36. Robin Thicke is 38. Timbaland is 43. Today, John Hamm turns 44. Someone sent me an email, another fella, who said, John Hamm may be the only guy you talk about who is actually worthy of a bell. I'm tempted. That's
I know
how much I love John
way.
Hamm.
He's sure dreamy, but I just hate to open that door, because you make that exception, and then all of a sudden people go, yeah, but what about?
Would that door be the back door?
I'm not sure about that. But
is that the one you don't want to open? Because I'll open it up for John Hamm. I'll go right back down. I will unlock that back door, and I'll open it wide open.
He is dreamy.
Come on in from the backyard. Come on, let me pour you a nice glass of sweet tea. Come on in here, John Hamm.
How are you making that sweet tea?
44 years old today. Jeff Abbott from Pearl Jam is 52. Sharon Stone's 57. Shannon Tweed is 58. And Chuck Norris is 75 years old today. Chuck Norris is 75.
Yeah.
Or 75 Chuck Norris.
I'm not positive that worked.
Right?
Sure.
You're with me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Goddamn right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, quick reminder, between now and Coachella, which is fast approaching, you should be sleeping already, Kevin, to get ready for Coachella weekend.
Can't wait.
You can score a pair of sold-out passes this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Also, access to the K-Rock Coachella House, which is awesome, where we broadcast from in the desert every year with lots of live music there. And you can also qualify to drive home in a brand-new car, a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. That is the grand prize drawing we're going to be doing at the Coachella House on April the 10th. If you want to qualify and win your way into the festival, you can go to krock.com for all the details. And 5 o'clock this afternoon is when we do that for you. Sad news yesterday in the world of entertainment. Ralph told us earlier about Sam Simon. It's a name a lot of people don't know, but he was the co-creator of The Simpsons, in addition to having a long and storied career in television before that. But it was what he did after he made his money with The Simpsons that really endeared him to millions of people around the world. A close friend of Mr. Simon's, who I'm sorry to say we are asking to come on the radio now because it is a difficult time for him, is our close friend Mark Thompson from KFI, weekday afternoons at 1. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. And Bean, Kevin, Allie, who's a terrific addition to your show.
Oh, thanks so much, Mark.
Yeah. You're very kind, Mark. And I felt terrible, I want you to know, about reaching out because I knew that this wasn't just a celebrity that you knew. This was a close personal friend of yours, and I knew you were hurting yesterday. But I also thought it would be nice to kind of share a little bit of what, about what made Sam Simon so special by having you on the program today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been difficult, I'll say. Even though, obviously, Sam was given 3 to 6 months to live 2.5 years ago, and so he beat the odds, yet we all knew that he was, he was living on borrowed time in a sense, and he knew it too. But the truth is, still, when it happens, it's really tough. But wow, what a legacy the guy's left. I mean, you talk about legacies. He had this tremendous body of work. He was terrifically funny, and that funny is played out through The Simpsons and all the shows he touched. You mentioned a few, you know, the Gary Shandling Show and Cheers and all of these sort of classic television shows, and then really creating the universe that is The Simpsons. For those who don't know, he really was part of creating that program and all its interlocking characters, you know, Mr. Burns and Chief Wiggum and all these characters that we've grown to know, and just the funny that is The Simpsons, is by all accounts Sam Simon. But what I really knew him from his most recent work anyway, and I want to say that's what I participated sort of and interlocked with in terms of my personal life, is his activism with animals and with children. You know, he was a big activist in both those areas.
And his goal was, especially when he knew he was sick, was to give away as much of his sizable fortune as he could. Tell us how he spent some of that money, Mark.
Yeah, he really, and Sam was terrifically funny, you know, and he just was unapologetically giving out, as he said, I'm giving away 100% of my money now. And it went to rescuing, for example, animals who were in destitute situations, meaning I'm talking about roadside circuses in the South where bears were there performing or just existing for passing motorists. They had not even ever touched grass or seen any sort of anything resembling even a natural habitat. Sam bought up the entire circus. He arranged to have the bear. And by the way, you know, these Southern folk who have these circuses, and I say circus in quotes, whatever it is, it's a habitat or something, they don't exactly want to part with for their situation. Sam goes down there, writes him a big check, arranges for the bears to be moved to a natural habitat in Texas where they can roam. I mean, I'm talking about roam for miles with other animals that have also been rescued. Sam made it his life's work that in the last years of his life, and again, as he outlived all estimates, that he would rescue animals like that. The elephant, Sundar, I think is the name of the elephant, that was chained up for its entire life. Sam arranged for that animal to be freed and again to be brought to a habitat. I mean, he did remarkable work that way.
Mm. Something that I loved about him through just reading about him, not only did he do amazing work with animals, he made sure, like it was a race against time, to get as many friends involved to see that aspect of it. So he'd take you guys on trips to Colorado to see these habitats that he had spent so much money on. So it would almost ensure that it would live on through his friends.
That's a great point. You know, I it's funny. I never thought of it that way. I thought of it always as, you know, let's all go and see the great work that something exciting. You know, like he would, as you say, he'd get everybody. We took him to Colorado. We went down to Talladega when he had the Blackfish car that he sponsored. Sam was a big one, as you know, in the Sea Shepherd campaign that continues against whaling, against illegal whaling, and also against tide and the brutal slaughter of dolphins there. And Sam would take all of us and his friends there. And you're right, it touches you. And in a sense, you feel responsible to continue in some way that awareness. I never thought of it that way until you just said it, but I think you're right. He, in touching all of us, the ripple effect of Sam Simon continues.
There are a lot of people who've made a lot of money, and you don't often hear somebody say, I'm giving 100% of it away. Yeah. It's all going to charity.
Yeah, this is Bill Gates-like in the amounts that he's giving away.
Yeah, and it's funny. He said initially, you know, I used to tithe. I used to give away 10% of my money for years when I started making any money in the entertainment industry. And that was one of the things, that his big thing. He says, you know, I'm in the entertainment industry, and that's one of the reasons I hate SeaWorld and all these places, because they're, in a sense, in the same business, the entertainment industry.
Right.
And it's offensive to me that these animals are forced to perform for us in an industry that I'm part of. So that's why he picked it up. But anyway, once you started to make more money, he said 10% is not enough. And he started to give away more money. He set up a foundation that saved the children. He set up a foundation at PETA and Mercy for Animals and all these other things. And then, obviously, once he was given so little time to live, he said, I'm going to give away literally 100%. And the foundations that he created have been set up to continue that now, even after his life is over.
This is the voice of our friend Mark Thompson here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You can hear him weekday afternoons on KFI Radio starting at 1. He was close friends with Sam Simon, who passed away yesterday at just 59 years old from colon cancer. How did he, what kind of a guy was he in terms of reacting to knowing he was dying? Some people don't take that news well. We see what he did outwardly. How tough was the struggle for him privately, Mark?
I think that he was going through a lot that maybe I wasn't even privy to. I mean, I'm sure that it had to be. Although, I'll tell you, he was pretty unvarnished about the whole thing. You know, he had a documentary film crew follow him for the last, I want to say, 6 months off and on. And he was pretty open about everything. In fact, you know, Vanity Fair did a big spread on Sam, and I would encourage everyone to you know, Google it and find it and read it. It's really cool. It's a great profile written by Meryl Marco, the brilliant writer. Anyway, he insisted that they do pictures of him and the colonoscopic aspect of his life, meaning I want my body to be seen for what has had to happen to it to treat this cancer. He was insistent on that. And Sam was very sort of bullheaded that way. He said, and I told him I won't do it unless the pictures like that run in the Vanity Therapy. So and sure enough, it's there. He wanted people to understand that struggle. And I think it brought together a lot of people who might share that struggle with cancer.
All right, last question for me, Mark. And again, you're very kind to come on when you've just lost a friend. But at any point, knowing that he was giving away tens of millions of dollars for these valuable causes, did you come to him and go, seriously, you could give me $1 million and never miss it?
Mark's got to eat. That's a good cause.
I got to eat. I mean, give the drummer some. At some point, you had to have leaned on him a little bit, right?
I wish we'd had this conversation a couple months ago, Bean. That would have been great. Yeah, come on, Sam, please. It's so funny. You know, I will say this. I already lost track of two things with Sam. A, how rich he was. You go over there and you kind of, I mean, I get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was an art collector and it was everywhere and his place is amazing. And also what a celebrity he is. You know, he'd say, oh, yeah, we're having a dinner and blah, blah, blah. You go over there and it's, you know, it's Eric Idle and Drew Carey, who was his good friend, and a lot of people, and who then you realize plug in the entertainment business in a big way. You just lose track of it, you know. But Bean, if we talked about this a couple of months ago,
it would have helped, huh? Could have peeled you off a million or so.
I wouldn't have brought wine. I would have taken wine.
All right, Mark. Well, listen, we're sorry for your loss, and obviously to Sam's family. And as I said on social media yesterday, and it's a sad day for all the animals of the world too, because they just lost one of the best friends they ever had. So RIP Sam Simon. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 941. Ralph, remember when, I think I was on vacation, remember when you and Kevin were broadcasting from a remote location with a live Paramore show?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Sure.
Super fun. That was, I think I have a tape.
Anyway, a little bit later on this morning, a live performance from K-Rock and from Paramore.
Yeah, coming Paramore's up. The name of the band. They'll be doing a live performance.
Coming up on the Kevin
lay down.
He didn't need to lay
Nobody
down.
Nobody needed to lay down.
I had a granola bar. I did have a granola bar.
Was that a St. Patrick's Day or something like that?
No.
What was the occasion, Kevin?
Just
do you remember?
Just a live.
It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday,
like I do.
It's amazing. That
really,
you're
it was
alive.
just a band in a club. We were just broadcasting from the place. That's all.
Yeah, it's no way to live a life, Kevin.
It isn't.
Hey, showbiz time, here's Ralph.
I just have a dry mouth because I had a granola bar for breakfast,
was what he tried to say was the reason why he couldn't speak. That's true.
Is that where that came from?
Yes.
That's where dry mouth came from?
I would like some water because I had a granola bar for breakfast and it made a dry mouth.
Lion sack of goo. He was higher than a kite.
How dare you,
he was
sir?
Stoned out of his giant head.
How dare you suggest that?
Stoned.
I have no idea I'll be this stoned.
Hall of Fame.
Head Hall of Fame stoner.
Kevin, God damn it.
Let me give you something for having to put up with this show. There are some good things that happen. Unlike this show, there are good things in the world. Like the Paley Fest.
Yay!
Paley Fest 2015 happens every year in March where they give tribute to TV shows past and present. Just the best of the best. And you get to meet the cast and creative teams of these shows.
It's almost always the entire cast and the creators. It's fascinating.
They all show up. They're always honored to be given an evening by the Paley Center for Media. And a great lineup this year. Homeland, for example. All the shows from Comedy Central. They had a special evening dedicated to Comedy Central. Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Arrow and Flash, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story. You can go to paleycenter.org for all the details. But I've got tickets right now to the March 12th evening with Outlander. If you'd like to go, if you're an Outlander fan, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Since it's March 12th, caller number 12 will get a pair of tickets for an evening with the cast and creative team behind Outlander. All right, let's talk about show business news. Looks like there's not only going to be a all-female Ghostbusters reboot in the works, but it looks like there's going to be a male Ghostbusters reboot movie as well.
What?
What? Sony's Pictures has formed a something they're calling the Ghost Corps, which is headed up by Ivan Reitman and Dan Aykroyd, and they are overseeing the creation of all these different arms of the Ghostbusters franchise.
So say what?
So wait, it's the same company that's competing with itself with different movies?
Not competing. They're creating the Ghostbusters universe. A female Ghostbusters team, a male Ghostbusters team, all midgets Ghostbusters, all black Ghostbusters, all transgender Ghostbusters, all CGI Ghostbusters.
I like it.
TV Ghostbuster shows. All Ghostbusters all the time. It just... Now, it's official. Now I hate Ghostbusters. Thanks. Nice work. Nice work, Sony. One of my favorite films. Now I hate it. Nice work.
It is weird that we couldn't get a new Ghostbusters project off the ground for 30 years, and now we're, getting 30 of them off the ground.
It's getting all Ghostbusters all the time.
Huh.
On the world.
Dog Ghostbusters. It's curious.
Curious indeed.
I love the casting on that female Ghostbusters, though.
Yeah.
A lot of potential there.
Good, funny ladies.
Well, then they got all uppity, thinking they can have it themselves. Right? Am I right?
I'm not sure that's where we're going with this.
Yet. No, I don't believe that at all. No. Bruce Jenner's headed to the operating room. RadarOnline.com reports that he is fast-tracking his transgender reassignment surgery.
Transgender? I insist.
And he'll undergo the surgery late this summer. So,
which surgery is this? Adam apple?
Penis?
Because we were told no penis. Remember?
He told Diane Sawyer, according to sources, that he was going to hold on to his penis for a while. So this may be breast enhancement, perhaps.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, but we'll know more. We'll know more when all the details are revealed on his TV series, where you get to follow it all. And Mumford and Sons are back. We've got a new album coming out called Wilder Mind, out on May the 4th. They just released the first single from that album. They released it yesterday. And you'll be happy to know that they took their signature distinctive sound of banjos and mandolins. They've taken those away, and now they sound like every other band you've ever heard of. So it's great news that Mumford & Sons are no longer distinctive whatsoever. Here's a little taste of their new single called Believe.
This is
change things up.
They sound like everybody else now with that.
Sounds good. Sounds great. Love it. Love it.
fine.
Are we being told that we are excited about Mumford & Sons this summer? Is that what you're saying, Kevin?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there are fewer banjos, so
what was wrong
everyone
with the
wins.
Banjos and the mandolins?
The world wins.
What was wrong with the banjos and the mandolins?
Ask them. They took them out. You know
it
why?
It sounded great. It sounded unique. It's like, every banjos. Time you hear it, you're like, oh, well, that's there's a Mumford & Sons song.
They're banjos. You're a banjo.
Yeah.
See? See, we need less of that right there.
I gotta agree with Ralph. Look, I can't judge based on what I just heard of that song, and maybe the album will be great. But I do feel like they took away the thing that made them stand out and made them different and unique on the radio.
Right.
I do feel that.
Right. Exactly.
I'm happy.
I've heard Coldplay just added a banjo section to their band. Teach them. Today's celebrity birthdays: Olivia Wilde is 31 years old. Carrie Underwood is 32. Danny Pudi, 36 years old. Robin Thicke, 38. Timbaland is 43. The dreamy John Hamm is 44 years old. Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, the guitarist for that band, is 52. Sharon Stone's 57. Shannon Tweed, lovely consort of Gene Simmons, is 58 years old today. And Chuck Norris is 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We've Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Bert Marcus, who's put together a fascinating documentary called Champs, where he talks to Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield and a bunch of different fighters. That's fascinating. We've seen that. And comedian Taylor Williamson is going to be in the studio, one of our favorites. He's done April Foolishness in the past. And we want to mention again that you can open the show. You can actually be the opening comedian for the show.
Is that why Taylor's coming by? Does he want to drop off his audition tape?
I don't think so, but maybe. Maybe.
Needs a gig, man. Thick times are tough.
This is funny, though, that people are now starting to tweet their favorite comedian and go, hey, you should get in on April Foolishness, like they did with Felipe Esparza, who was on it. So he's like, oh,
yeah, I've already done that.
I've already done that.
This is more for lesser-known comedians who are looking for a break, as opposed to established comedians who we would ask anyway, like Felipe. We would ask him anyway. But if someone we've never heard of happens to be hilarious, here's the chance that they can open up the evening of comedy.
We're looking for 2 minutes of video, and that's it. And then we will have somebody open up that show and go to krock.com to enter.
The KROQ Showbiz Beat is...